Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. When I do, it's usually something unusual.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy in Big Toe.
Paul Perillo.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do. No. Yeah, I do. I went to this doctor. He told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
And Andy.
Are you, homosexual?
You mean like flaming or...
Andy Hart.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah, would they send us someplace special?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women. Because, that's why my guys in my car club call me the Cruiser.
You should call them the Dork.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English. So, how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of a beach.
Son of a beach.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Wow. It just gets more exciting by the day here at Gillette Stadium.
Why?
I don't know, because, the excitement.
What's so exciting?
We're getting ready for 09. It's going to be an unbelievable season. The pieces are getting in place. The Patriots are just far ahead of all the other teams.
That seems to be the general consensus. I'm reading national columnists writing that even regardless of Peppers or whatever happens, that the Patriots are clearly the team to beat. People are just really looking past the Tom Brady knee injury.
Because they're looking at it through objective glasses.
No,
like you and Paul.
No, they're looking at it the way I looked at it. I told you all along that I expected Tom Brady from day one to be back this September better than ever.
Oh.
And you people all said, oh, his career is over.
You said
he's gonna like life outside of football.
You might never see him again. You go back and forth more than a metronome.
No, I don't.
You're like, he'll never play again.
Are you full of it?
You're unbelievable.
All along,
I said,
Tom Brady will be back.
I'm worried about the fact that he's not in...
You are
well,
that,
unbelievable.
That's accurate. But in terms of just the knee, from day one,
I said, yes, you have.
It was the best case scenario. I didn't know he was going to get an infection, but that he'd be back better than ever.
You're right.
And his fire would be reignited because of people like
that's
you doubting
not what
him.
You said.
People like you who thought he was going to go join politics.
You said the opposite. You said are questioning his mental state and his desire to play.
No, that's not accurate. That was what I was questioning before he got hurt. As soon as he got hurt, I figured that doubters like you, who said he'd never come back to the game, would fuel him to be better than ever.
It's a good thing we have listeners who pay attention. Otherwise, this crap that you
say
might go.
I don't flip both ways like Paul does and cover all my bases.
Okay.
When he says in one, he goes.
If you want to make fun of Paul, that's okay.
Well, I'm just bearing the facts.
Yeah.
Paul lists him as, Matt Cassel. He's one of the top 13, 14 quarterbacks, but I'd rather have Sage Rosenfels. So apparently Sage Rosenfels is in the top dozen quarterbacks, according to Paul.
All right. Well, we got some things to talk about here, and the email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. The Peppers talk is still lingering.
Yes.
It's not ruled out.
Nope.
But I think a lot of people are kind of jumping on your side. Questioning it a little bit.
And it seems
mostly because of the money, but also because of the unknown.
And especially fans.
Yep.
I'm surprised. I thought our fans would be all over Peppers. Wow, the glamour move. And it seems like a lot of fans are a little dubious of it and want to keep the draft picks, go in the draft, get a, I think it helps that Jason Taylor's out there and people think, oh, we can get Jason Taylor for a year or two to hold us over until we get a young player in there. Which, by the way, in his latest mock draft, Pat Kerwin on NFL.com has the Patriots taking Sean Smith out of Utah, a defensive back, big body defensive back, and sort of as just part of the text, a throwaway line, he says, I expect the Patriots to get either Peppers or Taylor so the focus can turn to the secondary again. So sounds like he's on board with they're going to end up with one of them. Whichever one they want or works out, they're going to get. So as a Patriots fan, I think, who cares? One or the other, you're getting an edge rusher who's going to help you next year and make you better. So that story is clearly still has legs. And I am of the camp. I want to see Taylor and the draft picks. Also, okay. Percy Harvin had his pro day yesterday. Looked really good.
Yeah.
Some people thought he helped himself, but others think he's going to slide out of the first round. So possibility you get a corner at 23, you get Percy Harvin at 34, and Bill
last
has
time a wide receiver Jack slipped out of the first round, it was Chad Jackson.
He was also from Florida. Different player, very different player, though. Yeah. I mean, Percy Harvin is jack of all trades on offense. Running back, wide receiver, slot guy. Bill, I'm guessing, would put him out there in the Wildcat and run some plays out of that. I'd be intrigued to see what Bill would do with Percy Harvin.
I might, you know, give me a couple months and I might be predicting 16-0.
You're not yet?
No.
I heard you on a conference call yelling, they might as well just give us the trophy. Well, Tom Brady's downstairs working out. Peppers is coming. Just give us the trophy.
You don't have to be 16-0 to win the Super Bowl.
No, you have to be, as you were on that conference call, drunk.
No, this is going to be
a little unprofessional, you know.
What's that?
Doing shots of vodka before you do a conference call.
Why?
Maybe I just.
I don't know, but you were hammered that day.
What's wrong with that?
It's not appropriate.
Is that against the human resource rules?
I don't know. I never got my handbook. Remember when they promised me a departmental handbook that you were going to write and I never got one?
I was going to write.
That's what they said. When I went to that big meeting, they gave me an organizational handbook.
There's no way you went to that meeting.
Yes, I did. It was the most
boring
thing.
You obviously didn't learn anything from it.
I didn't listen.
The last person.
A matter of respect was laid off with the rest of them.
The last person you want writing a human resource handbook is me.
I don't know. I think I'd be a little higher on that list of last people you want writing a handbook.
We'd have to have a section on you.
It's true. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com. Eric is he's in the media workroom doing Pierre Woods. Well, you know what I mean by doing. He's interviewing.
Interviewing.
The media is Patriots Media Relations Department is making Pierre Woods available today. So there'll be Dan Copen tomorrow.
At least for the time being, Pierre Woods will be known as your starting outside linebacker.
Yeah, that's true.
Until Peppers or Taylor or somebody else comes along, because
yep.
That's the role he had until he got hurt last year for, what, two games I think he started?
Yeah, broke his jaw.
Broke his
jaw.
He was
doing well. He was.
Yeah, and Terrence Wheatley was Deion Sanders.
He was doing well.
Let's have that revisionist history where we look back.
Why do you have to go there? Why can't you just say the guy was doing well?
He was doing well.
I mean, it's not like I said, you know, he was the next coming of Rodney Harrison or anything, or the next coming of Lawrence Taylor, you know, whatever. But, I mean, you know, he was doing okay.
He was doing okay.
We were seeing signs of improvement.
If we don't get Peppers or Taylor, are you comfortable going into the season with Adalys Thomas and Pierre Woods as your starters and Sean Crable and Tully Bantakane as your backups?
No.
Thank you.
No.
No further questions.
But that doesn't mean that...
I like Pierre Woods. Very good guy. Great special teamer, I think. Good backup and good solid linebacker. But we need impact pass rush guy in that position.
Oh, no.
Hey, there's Craig again. Good to have him back in the show, by the way.
All right, so Eric will be here soon. Paul is still on vacation.
He is. I don't know if we're ever going to see him again. I think he might have taken the buyout.
Yeah,
I think he's gone.
He could be. He could be. No one's moved into his office, though, so...
That's true. Yeah. And no one's filled his void in writing for the paper. Oh, wait, he didn't actually write anything for the paper, so we would never know
if
he was here or not here.
2G's in the booth.
So now, what do you got, another week back there? The show is just falling apart, dropping like flies.
And no lunch.
And no lunch, thanks to Two Gender.
That's unbelievable. You
got
to order.
Like
six
people.
You going to order? Huh?
If you want something.
I do. I'm very hungry.
You're now a high-paid ad executive, so maybe you should buy us
lunch. Where are you
going
to order from?
Wherever you want me to, Fred.
Who delivers?
Everybody.
Holy crap. Are you kidding me? Even our listeners know who deliver, and they live in,
like, Spain. Does Omega deliver?
Yes, but they don't take credit cards.
I'd like to get a nice veal cutlet sub.
I'll look into it.
All right.
They deliver. They don't take credit cards.
I have some cash here.
No, I know, but he'll have to run out and actually meet the guy to give him hand him the cash.
Yeah, well, he has to go out and get the food.
I have to get
anyway.
The food anyway.
I know, but don't they usually drop it off, call you, and you go pick it up?
No, they're always out there waiting.
I can just wait.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you got to sign for it. You don't know because you're so lazy. You've never.
First of all,
picked
I have because I gave him a very nice tip when I did because it was on somebody else's credit card.
You're unbelievable. All right, web radio.
What do you want again?
A veal cutlet sub with Parmesan cheese.
A veal sub parm?
Yeah.
With cutlet.
And a Coke. Great, thanks.
They don't sell Cokes there.
The hell they don't.
Oh, they don't sell Pepsi, maybe.
Right. They sell Coke there. That's the Omega pizza. Although we should be getting from Grandy, but I don't like the veal.
You're very picky with your veal.
Big Head, you want something?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Can't have anything.
Why can't I have anything?
Because I said so. All right, so what else do we get to talk about? What else is going on?
Not much has happened in the last day. Well, I mean, not every day can you have a rumor of them acquiring the Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Basically had two the other day with Jason Taylor and Julius Peppers. I think that's enough to keep us going.
Well, there's NFL news that we should talk about.
The discussions of all the competition committee advisories.
Well, before that, the NFLPA has chosen their leader.
Yes.
What's his name?
Smith. DeMoris?
DeMoris? No.
I got no idea who he is.
DeSean? DeMoris? I don't know. Smith.
He's like the one guy I never heard of in the whole lead up to the vote. Everybody else was going to get it.
Good.
And you know what? Now they're trying to spin it as unanimous, but he got a ton of votes. He got like 22 or 23 of the 32 votes.
Right.
And Trace Armstrong, who was supposedly going to get it, got like two. Troy Vincent got a few. I mean, he was by far and away the safe choice.
He's the safe bet, not only for the players, but for the owners. These other guys that are coming in. Trace Armstrong had the reputation of being more like a Gene Upshaw. Troy Vincent was this radical guy that was going to clean house. I think they got the guy in the middle, who, by the way, is a lawyer, which you got to have one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a negotiation. You really need to have I don't know if this guy has a labor background, but he's a lawyer anyway. So he knows how to negotiate. I just thought it would have been just a disaster if Troy Vincent got it.
Now, the question I have is, they've already said at the owners' meetings there'll be no negotiations. How come they put this stuff off? Why don't you get
What do you mean? They're meeting next week, Goodell and the Smith guy. Not necessarily to negotiate, but maybe to just get to know each other and get things going.
To fit him for the leash, isn't that what what's his name said on the NFL Network?
That's just terrible.
But yes, the NFL owners' meetings start the 22nd. What's that?
Next week. Today's what, 19th. The 19th?
So yeah, Monday they start the owners' meeting, Sunday?
Yeah.
So there'll be some news coming out of there, I'm sure, as they discuss these different... one of the things they're going to be looking into is changing the draft proceedings because of what happened to the Patriots this year, although it's not a proposal from the Patriots. I think the Jaguars actually proposed
it. Is that such a big deal to you? No, not to me either.
I mean,
some of these guys are, well, you know, they finished ahead of us and we beat them and they get to draft. I don't really care.
But I think they're going to make some other changes to it as well, in that the playoff teams, which now the only way it changes is if you make the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You go 32 and 31 in the Super Bowl. Sounds like they're going to change it based on
playoffs,
winning and losing.
Guys dumped to the bottom.
Yeah, further you know, 32, 31 would be Super Bowl. The next two would be the title game losers.
Yeah, okay.
Right on back.
I mean,
I don't really care either way.
I don't either.
Seems like it's worked for years. The biggest issue they have with the draft is the money at the top.
Right.
Until they fix that, the draft is not going to be anywhere near perfect.
And, you know, I know we scoff at, you know, teams calling those top 5 to 8 picks toxic and really sincerely not wanting to be in there, and we're laughing at that going, that's ridiculous. I don't know.
Well, I don't.
You know what? Some of these.
We didn't laugh at that completely. We questioned three, whether Bill would have wanted three from Kansas City.
Right.
What we laughed at is people said 12. He wouldn't want the 12th pick in the draft.
Right.
That's not the same as the third pick. That's a long ways down.
Yeah.
I didn't hear any hemming and hawing about Gerard Mayo's contract.
Right.
He fell in line, signed the deal, played for you.
Right.
He's not going to ruin your cap for the next 10 years like the first overall, second, third picks would.
But I think it's...
No, there's definitely, especially in this draft, because there is no clear cut 1, 2, and 3. You're not getting a consensus superstar.
And I think, you know, you would think, oh, the union would never, you know, go with that because, you know, these are players that are coming in. That's how they make their money. But because it's such a small segment of the draft, and it does really, you know, make veterans kind of feel bad about the fact that this guy's never played it down and he's making more money than me. If the owners can figure out how to move some of that money, keep it, you know, still spent money, not saved money, but spent money, but more, you know, to a veteran minimum pool. So the veteran minimum goes up. I think that that can be a change that might happen. The group that is will be vehemently against it is the agents.
Right.
I mean, the agents make – that's how they make their money when these guys come in the league.
Right.
And they do have a say, I think, with the union, when it comes to changes in the collective bargaining agreement. So that's the group that really needs convincing on that.
Right. But the owners would spend it because they have to.
Right.
I mean, there's a floor. Right. They have to have a bottom to their salary cap spending. So whether it's going to Jake Long or Chad Pennington, it's going to somebody on the Dolphins if you're the owner.
So, I mean, I think the players and the owners will be okay with it. It's the agents, and believe it or not, some way, somehow, they do have a say in this.
How did it get here? Has anybody written an article on that? I haven't done the research, but how did it get to where we're at now with the top five picks? How did it start when, you know, what were the top five picks the first year they had free agency and sort of the new CBA?
Yeah, I'd have to look
at it. How did we get from A to Z?
Yeah.
Like, what were the steps in between? I'm sure there was some number one overall pick that kind of gave it a boost, and it kind of kept going from there.
Well, the guy that really kind of changed everything when it came to free agency and the whole thing about signing bonuses is Jerry Jones, when he signed Deion Sanders from the 49ers. That kind of changed everything. He had this, it was a very clever, unique way of offloading, this money and putting it into the future. And, all the other owners followed suit.
But I don't even care if that happens with veterans. I mean, Deion Sanders was Deion Sanders. I want to know how it got to $46 million for the...
Well, but that played into the guaranteed money part of the whole thing, and it escalated from there.
I'm going to have to do a little research into that.
It's a good one. It's a good one. Let's see. The phone number is 508-543-7482. And on the phone right now it's Danny from Orlando. Danny, how you doing? Danny. 2G doing his job as usual.
He is useless. I cannot wait until we get a new producer.
It's not my fault Fred takes 50 minutes to get to him and he hangs up.
He didn't.
I got to open the show.
We have to begin the show and get some convincing.
All right, welcome to PFW Progress. Danny's on the phone.
Then it becomes the Danny in Orlando show.
Yeah. We do it for John in L.A.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
We never take John in L.A. before like 12:20. You got to set the table. Can't have dinner until the table's set.
You're supposed to be, hold on, keeping them company, right?
I told him.
You're also supposed to get us lunch. You're supposed to do a lot of things you don't do.
Did you call yet?
You were supposed to be here at 3:30 yesterday for a podcast. Eric and I sat here for 20 minutes until you came down.
Wow.
See, he just nods. That's accurate. He knows. He dropped the ball.
All right.
The one time you wait for me. I wait for you guys every other time.
That's your job. We're the talent. You're the producer. Wait for us.
Wow.
Not anymore.
All right.
That's right. You're being ads and then soon to the street.
Well, Danny in Orlando, if you're still out there and you want to call back, we'll keep you waiting for another.
Maybe he
minutes.
Saw Paul or something.
Boy, I see why people call the NCAA tournament's first day the best sporting event on the calendar. I mean, there's only 15,000 empty seats at this first game that's about to tip off. What the hell's going on there?
Well, it's
supposed to be the greatest event in the sporting world.
There's like five games there throughout the day.
It's interesting.
But if you had tickets, you're not going to all of them. You're not going to be there to
you're
tip
sit
off
five games.
It's supposed to be the best day in the sporting calendar. That's why I think it's ridiculous. You could sit right now at center court of the first game of the NCAA tournament. Right now.
I would want to be there for the opening tip.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think people show up late to the Super Bowl?
But probably all those good seats going off? They have some sort of a relationship with a specific school that's playing the day.
I doubt that very much.
Do you think the economy is affecting attendance? You think the economy might affect attendance?
Where is this taking place?
I don't know. This first game. Where it is. Anyway, Eric's
North
here.
Carolina.
North Carolina.
What's up? Who's
Eric
winning the basketball game?
Oh, say.
Eric's
can
done doing
you
Pierre Woods.
See by the dawn's early
is that you or Eddie
light.
Mack? I think he's warbling.
What so proudly we
Eddie Mack.
Minnie Gary's laughing. I can't go on.
How was Pierre Woods?
Pierre Woods was excellent.
Yeah.
He's not one of the guys who normally talks in the locker room.
Oh, he's a great guy.
He's a great guy. No, I knew he was a great guy, but he doesn't really talk in the locker room, so he's not really the guy you go to for a soundbite.
No, he's the guy you go to if you just want to chat on a boring Friday.
Well, I think that's because he gets kind of shy when there's a lot of people around. It was me and our friend from the Herald, Karen Garigian, just the two of us interviewing him. And
just
he was no, he was phenomenal. He really was an excellent interview.
Good.
Spoke openly about Mike Vrabel leaving and what a surprise that was to him. Talked a little bit about the Peppers rumors.
Right. How does he feel about, you know, all these rumors about the Patriots need an outside linebacker and he's an outside linebacker?
Well, he says that he doesn't pay attention to any of that stuff.
Right.
You know, he's
sure you don't.
He, you know, towing the company line there. You focus on yourself and what you can do and all that. Which I kind of expected him to say, but he went. He was effusive in his praise of Mike Vrabel, not just from a player's perspective, but you know, teaching him things about life and being a man and being a father, off the field, on the field, being a professional with your job and taking, you know, film study and everything seriously. Had nothing but great things to say about Vrabel, which was kind of funny. A Wolverine saying that about a Buckeye, you know, but. He was a great interview. His jaw, he looked like he was, you know, still talking a little stiff, but
really?
he claims he's fine now. And it wasn't a break that needed surgery. They sort of temporarily wired it, which wasn't, it's not the same as a normal wiring when
right.
it's broken.
He wasn't having soup and Jello for 3 months.
He was.
For 3 months?
Almost. He really? Last week he said he had a steak for the first time since the incident.
Wow.
They went out went to Providence.
Is he skinny?
He said he lost a little bit of weight, but he's starting to gain it back again. But he
that
said
probably doesn't happen as much in today's day and age with all the shakes and protein powders. You
but he
probably
he was blending everything. He said he was like fish and pizza and macaroni. He was
the
putting everything in a blender, and because he couldn't really chew or eat anything, so he was doing that. And he said it was grossing everybody out just hearing what it was. But he said it tasted good to him. So
nothing tastes better than a haddock shake.
Yeah,
you know?
There's certain things that the flavor can only go with the texture.
Right.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But he
fish
said he loved
smoothie.
It. But he, you know, he's back to eating normally, and you know, he said he wanted to play. He told the trainers and the coaches when it happened, he was ready to go right back out there and play. And they said, well, look, because he was real adamant, and he was like, said he was swearing that he wanted to get back in the game. And they were like, look, stop talking. Just stop talking. And then when he did, he realized how bad the thing was.
Wow.
And then he still wanted to go in and play, but then he saw more specialists afterwards, and they told him, look, if you go and play and you get anything, you know, if it gets hit the wrong way again, you could have lasting repercussions, you could have serious damage and this and that. So he's finally relented and said, well, you know, do what you got to do. And they, you know, eventually put him on IR. But he at first didn't want to do it. He wanted to come back out and play with it. But he looks fine. Like I said, he lost a little bit of weight, but he's gaining it back. And he's working out again. He's eating normally, talking fine, and ready to go.
Cool. Hey, everybody is listening to us via Flash today. Today is the debut of the Flash player.
So we're flashing,
everybody.
And Paul from London says Flash is working much better than Real for me, and the pop-up media player is much better.
Ferreira
and easier
sucks.
To
Merry
use.
Christmas.
So I'll get to the rest of his email later, but just an update from Paul in London about the Flash.
I want to hear a few more of those because I'm interested to see if it's an upgrade for everybody.
Well, I'd like to all those people that you know hated Real just to you know tell us how it's going.
They don't want us to keep it real. They want us to flash them.
On the phone right now, 508-543-7482, is John in L.A. John, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Good. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about Julius Peppers. Is that cool?
Sure.
That's
fine. What do you get to say?
I just have to say that while I don't share Andy's concern about Peppers' ability to transform himself into a linebacker with the help of the coaching staff, I do think I'm coming around on the Jason Taylor idea. Just I like the salary structure of having those three second-round picks, even if they trade one. And I like the idea one of you was floating the other day about, you know, Jason Taylor's here for a year or two, and that gives us a little time to take whatever young linebacker we pick, at least one of them, on the first day, and develop him into something. I worry a lot about the salary structure with Peppers.
I would, too. And not just the salary structure, but the value, whether you're going to get legitimate value. If he comes in here and he has five straight years of 12 or more sacks, then
regardless of what you're paying him, it's going to look pretty good. But if he comes in and he's unhappy about something and goes into a wildcat strike like he did a couple years ago reportedly in Carolina, or simply isn't as motivated and only has, you know, 6.5, 7 sacks, then all of a sudden that $8, $10, $12 million, $14 million a year you're paying him for the next 6 years doesn't seem quite so palatable. And the fact that maybe Richard Seymour and Vince Wilfork aren't here anymore, or some other players aren't here because you have him at such a big deal.
Well, the thing about him, you know, going on strike, like reported the other day, you know, that 2 years ago he just sort of took the season off. This seems to me that when players want to come here, or in the 90s it was the Cowboys, in the 80s it was the 49ers, or wherever, when they go to a team that is a known, established Super Bowl winning team, the things that they've done in the past seem to just go out the window. When they decide that they get to a certain age and they haven't won anything and they want to win something, they decide, you know what, I gotta grow up. Mm. I gotta grow up now. And the Patriots are the team for which players like that do that in this decade,
well,
it seems
and
like. So
to
I'm
some
not as
degree.
I'm not as worried about Peppers taking seasons off if he comes here, because I think he's going to be motivated to want to show something, to prove himself.
Maybe for a year, but you're not signing him for a year. Over the short term, I would say that, no question. That's why I had no concerns with Randy
Moss. Has there ever
Moss.
Been a player that has done that with the Patriots since 2000?
Well, you're talking about a signing and a deal like you've never seen. So there's
I know,
no example that in
so
any
what?
Way compares to Julius Peppers making
$70 million. I'm just saying, has there ever been a player that he pulled a Corey Dillon in Cincinnati, or he pulled a Randy Moss in Oakland?
Well, I haven't
Randy
seen it.
Moss admitted he was close to pulling a Randy Moss last year.
Well,
no,
said
he was
said
going in the wrong direction.
He admitted that he was in a little bit of
a
funk.
Yeah, right.
He was mad at the team. He was just a little depressed.
Right, and that's what he's
that's
had in the
different.
Past. He's,
that's different.
Oh, everything's
so we're
different.
We're going to read into something he said.
That's a hell of a lot different than trying to prove a point.
Do.
Well, my point is, I'm not as
well,
concerned
first of
about
all, don't
about
tell me Randy Moss didn't take any plays off last year and sulk at all last year.
Sulk about what?
Life, balls, passes,
that's,
plays.
That's different than being mad at the team and being mad at the organization.
No, but my point is, Julius Peppers clearly already has a history of some immaturities.
Right.
You don't know when and where those immaturities are going to pop
Corey
up.
As did Corey Dillon, as did Randy Moss when they came here.
And neither of those guys did you bring in on a $100 million contract for 7 years.
No, I understand that.
But not only
you brought
that,
both of those guys in on limited contracts where they had to prove themselves if they even wanted to stay.
Right.
They still had to prove themselves.
And right. And that contract's not going to be guaranteed.
Well, a lot of it is. $45 million, as much as is any contract is guaranteed, is going to be guaranteed.
Right, but my point is if you guarantee that early on, and you're assuming you're going to get that production from him early on, right? And
right.
And later on, maybe he'll go into this funk, or he'll take a season off, or whatever concerns you have. If you do that early, you can always cut him later on and not have to absorb anything later.
You can't cut $45 million of guaranteed money.
No.
Because it's divided out over 7 years.
But see, one of the things,
so all
Andy,
of a sudden you accelerate it to 2 years?
One of the things,
no,
Andy,
you can't win that way.
And you know, you have to look at it this way, too. If he comes and he does get a big contract, there's no way, even in his mind, that he can outplay that contract.
Right.
He will constantly be having to play up to that contract, whereas in the past, and you know, in
he was playing for a
he
contract.
He was trying to get an extension, or he's trying to. He doesn't think he was making what he deserves. That won't be the case anymore. That's usually what guys do when they're, you know, having that type of trouble. They want an extension. They sulk. They're not getting the respect.
Wow.
And it's money related.
A lot of times,
there's no way he's going to have any money problems if he comes here.
He doesn't have any money problems.
He was playing for a contract and tanked it. 2.5 sacks when he was playing for a contract.
Andy, this is all theoretical. No one in this conversation right now thinks that Julius Peppers, if he came here, is going to start tanking it in the second year.
That's my point.
You don't
that's,
think
that's my point, John.
But it's not about a 2 year deal. It's a 6 or 7 year deal.
But I don't see him tanking it.
It's after the first few years.
Yeah.
You can't cut him.
A little bit more protected.
You can't cut him.
Depends on how it was structured.
If you're going to accelerate $32 million onto the cap in a single season, you lose.
All right. Let me clarify then. As long as Bill is coaching, if Peppers is here, I am not worried about Peppers. If Bill leaves and Wade Phillips becomes the head coach, then I'd worry about him tanking.
Okay, I didn't know
this
I came
D'Angelo
to
D'Angelo Hall.
Wrote
what?
You know, this isn't D'Angelo Hall. I mean, you're right. There's been some history with Julius Peppers, but not like anything like Dylan or Moss or...
Right,
or
not at all. Yeah, there's major differences.
Right.
First of all, Dylan was in a league of his own. And then Moss is closer, I think, to Peppers because it's an immaturity thing.
It's an immaturity, but, I mean, we were talking about the Raiders. I mean,
right.
For a guy like Moss,
Vikings.
With the ability that he has and knows what he can do on the field, to be stuck on a team like that,
He had issues with the Vikings. Issues with the Vikings when they were in playoff seasons. So let's not just sweep it all under the rug. Randy Moss has been great here. He's had a few little glitches where he decided to take plays off or admitted himself that was upset.
Great cash, homie.
But he's been great. Let's not...
By and large, he's been
a
model citizen here.
Right. Corey Dillon wasn't. After he signed his extension, Corey Dillon was not happy. He was cantankerous. He was fighting with media. He was having issues on the plane. Telling Bill that he didn't give a bleep. He was spiking the ball on the field to show that after a single play, there were some issues with Corey Dillon here. Let's not pretend it was all roses after he signed his extension.
Right. But you got to remember, though, that A, he didn't have the kind of money that Julius Peppers would have here. And B...
But he had it.
He already made
his
money.
B, right. He already had it. Yeah.
Right. But, and B, he was on the downside of his career, and they were cutting down his carries.
And he's a jerk.
And he's a jerk.
But that's my
Julius
point.
Julius Peppers is not a jerk and hasn't really had that much of a history of being a jerk. I mean, not like Corey Dillon.
But he might be a baby. He might be a Jay Cutler or a Phillip Rivers that, as other things pop up, he becomes a baby and has issues. And all I'm saying is when you're tied to $70, $80, $100 million contract, those issues are a big pain in the butt. Because there's not much you can do about
it. Are you worried about Jason Taylor for the same reasons? I mean, he's a lot
No, because I'm signing Jason Taylor to like a two-year, $10 million deal.
Yeah, I know, but he can hurt you. He's been kind of a little bit of a prima donna lately.
And secondly, his best friend is Tom Brady.
Yeah. I thought it was Zach Thomas.
That kind of helps. Okay, his best friend that he's never played with is Tom Brady. That helps. I didn't know Julius Peppers' best friend was Tom Brady and that there was like a comfort level there.
It will be.
They're BFFs, Fred.
Everybody's best friend is Tom Brady.
Let me know when we're not in the honeymoon period of lusting after Julius Peppers and we're ready to talk about it objectively.
Well, I mean, you
don't
really know.
I've been talking about it objectively. Just
I don't really know.
Agree
I'm
with
just
you.
Posing that when I sign a guy to a $100 million contract, I want to be damn sure there's not a single
problem.
It's not going to be
$100
million. Yes. What are you talking about?
It's not going to be a Haynesworth contract.
I'm sorry. I thought Julius Peppers was considered one of the best defensive players in football.
If the Patriots sign him,
they're not
going to
sign him for
$100 million. It's not going to be $100 million.
Yeah, because the Julius
Peppers... And that's why a lot of people don't think the Patriots will get him.
But he's going to be looking for money in that range. Peppers and Jared Allen are his two contracts he's going to be holding up and say, show me something like these.
Haynesworth and Jared Allen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
He's not getting that. He's not going to get more money than Brady.
Which is why I don't think he's coming here.
Yeah, you're probably right. But
which is why I think we get Jason Taylor, and I'm excited because then we get a couple draft picks, and I think your team is good not only this year but for the next five.
And look, Andy, I would be excited with either one of these guys coming here.
Now, you still think they can get Peppers, Taylor,
no,
not all the draft picks.
No,
somehow they're not giving anything up on any level.
No, I didn't. I never said that. No, I said the other day. Shut up, John.
Well said,
no one's
John.
No one's talking to you, John. You'll have your time tomorrow on the web. Shut up.
Okay.
I would be fine with either one of those guys because I think the emphasis is going to be on getting that fourth Super Bowl this year. Either one of those guys can help do that. Whatever happens after that.
So you're on the Fred Kirsch load-up theory.
I think of course they're load-up. It's like 2007. This offseason is a mirror image of 2007 in my mind. And they're taking more care of the defense this time than they did last time because the offense was more the concern last time. And I think if they get... You know, they've signed the two corners. If they get Peppers and or Taylor, that's going to be that's going to surpass 2007 in my mind as far as loading up to win a Super Bowl. They're already the favorites. They were the favorites at the end of this season. They're even more the favorites now. They sign one of these two guys and have a good draft. They're the clear-cut favorites. They're loading up to win one more time this year.
See, I don't buy the loading up theory at all. I think Bill looks at needs, tries to address them if there's things available. I think had Fred Taylor been available last year at $2 million, he would have signed him.
I agree with that, but I'm saying
he looks at it the exact same way.
Need and opportunity are coming together here.
Right. But you think they're loading up for a Super Bowl. I think they're loading up because he went to the grocery store, and holy crap, Fred Taylor's are on sale. I'll take one of those, and he could get them. Whereas last year, the things he wanted and or needed were Asante Samuel at ridiculous money. We've already couldn't get that. And but, well, I guess I'll have to get the Fernando Bryants at the bottom shelf.
In 06, they had no receivers. And they had a defense that was starting to get old. And they came one play away from going to a Super Bowl. And they would have beaten the Bears. They would have won that Super Bowl.
Right.
So what did they do in that offseason? They went gangbusters to retool the team and try to win the Super Bowl. They came a few seconds short of doing that.
Every move they make every year is to try to get better.
I know the idea
that getting better means closer to winning a Super Bowl.
I know that, but they're making such an outward display of it. In 2007, it was an aberration. We said, oh, they've never done it like this before. Now, 2 years later, they're doing it again.
They went and got Roosevelt Colvin when they could get Roosevelt Colvin. They thought he was the best guy available, and the money was right. They thought the value was there. Adalys Thomas was the same situation. He fit their system. The money wasn't ridiculous. He was a guy who didn't want to cash in, because if he wanted to cash in, he'd be a San Francisco 49er right now. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to play west of the Mississippi and that whole crap.
Right.
It all came together perfectly. They didn't know the Raiders were going to be giving away Randy Moss for a fourth-round pick. They were going after Wes Welker. He was targeted. But don't tell me they thought, you know, if we get Wes Welker, we're going to win a Super Bowl.
No, I think I said that, Andy.
Yeah, you never did.
No, a lot of this stuff, and Bill Belichick says a lot of this stuff just happens.
Right.
Time.
They have a plan.
Right.
Don't get me. I don't think they're willy-nilly.
No.
But I think sometimes the plan and how it can be put forth
but
by them
you have to be ready to take advantage of those.
That's what I was saying. Need and opportunity were
But I think they were ready last offseason. They just it wasn't there.
Right.
What they, the need and the opportunity.
They never make mistakes. It just doesn't
That's
happen.
That's right.
Though.
They never do.
No, but last offseason, they were coming off the 16-0, losing the heartbreaker in the Super Bowl. It was... You know, I'm not saying they weren't trying last year, but there was a little bit of a letdown. There was a deflation from the previous year because they thought they were going to be 19-0. They thought they were going to win the Super Bowl. There was a little bit of a subconscious letdown.
There might have been.
Now it seems like they're over that. They're back in 2007
mode. They
were
definitely tired by the end of that season.
Of course. Bill admitted it in his final press conference last year.
Too tired to pick up the phone and call a free agent?
No, but the need and opportunity weren't there last year as much as they're there this year.
I disagree. It's the same every offseason, except the opportunities are different.
I've got to tell you, though, I've been hooked on the Olympics.
And a behind-the-scenes aspect of the show, our producer, Eric, I mean, Two-Gender, just looks at me and goes, is John still on the phone? How the hell would I know? You're the producer.
John, are you still there?
No.
Not anymore.
John is sick of us.
How does the producer not know whether a guy is still on the phone?
I needed to ask him about his column tomorrow.
Did he not send it in?
Not yet.
Oh, it's past deadline?
No, he's usually Thursday.
He hasn't thrown it up against the board yet and see what sticks.
Hey, a lot of emails coming in about the Flash player. Ross in London says, big thumbs up for me. I could never access the previous player for some reason. The current Flash one is crisp and instant, too.
Brilliant!
No buffering.
There's no buffering involved with Flash?
It kind of buffers as it goes along.
Is that why when I watch things in this building, it's a slideshow?
I guess so. GT in North Carolina says Flash sucks unless you fix the pause. The Flash will play fine, but the real player allowed us to pause the live playback if needed. If we try to pause with Flash, it won't resume when you hit play again. Give 2G something to do before he leaves and fix the pause.
He has no idea how to do that.
He wouldn't know.
Guarantee he would have no idea how to do that.
Russ in Seattle says Flash is great. But let's talk potential salary cap casualties. Let's cut Kazier and Neal and Hobbs, trade Light and Seymour, extend Wilfork and acquire Peppers. Read my emails. Flash works perfectly, he says.
Well, first of all, I don't believe you can trade Richard Seymour. I mean, you can, but you wouldn't save money. It would cost you a lot of money. I think he has like a $9-point-something million cap hit this year, six and change of which is coming from the bonus money. So whether you have him or not have him, that money's on the books. Because if you remember when we talked about it, he signed a great contract for him because he was going to be a free agent again, as he'll be next year while he's relatively young, and all the money was virtually guaranteed.
Right.
It was virtually like a four-year, $30 million contract guaranteed.
Brent in Illinois says, hey, guys, in 2G, I think that the Flash quality is much better than the real player. The show sounds great today. Do you guys think the mess going on with Cutler in Denver – what do you think about it? Don't you think any QB would want to play for the guy who made Castle into a $14 million man?
Yeah, that's why he'd come play for Brady. I mean, for Belichick.
Here's what I think. I kind of agree with our friend Ron Borges's column from yesterday.
Good story. Did you read that, Fred?
What's that?
Borges's piece yesterday, ripping McDaniels, kind of?
No.
I kind of agree with him in this way. If after that first week in a free agency, when Cutler first came out and said, oh, you know, I'm hearing that they want, you know, when all the talk of him being traded came up, If McDaniels and the Broncos had come out and said, you know what, you're right, the rumors are true, we did have an interest in Matt Cassel. I mean, you know, I did spend the last few years with the guy. I have a familiarity with him. It was only natural that we kind of were, you know, we weren't actively trying to get rid of Jay, but, you know, I had such a history with Matt. It was only in our best interest that we listen at least to what the offers were. Jay's a great quarterback. He's a Pro Bowler last season. Great future in this league. If he had come out and said those things right away and just admitted that there was at least some talk about him being traded, they wouldn't be painted in such a bad light that they are now. McDaniels is getting raked over the coals for what he's done handling this situation. If he had just come out and said that, and Cutler kept being a little crybaby that he's been since then, all the negative attention would have been on Cutler, and the Broncos would have looked like they were taking the high road here. I think McDaniels made a mistake in not doing that.
Well, if you got to trade your quarterback, you got to do it. You can't swing and miss on that.
Or at least admit that you were doing
it. Yeah, because the ball's going to come back and hit you.
Because coming out and saying, "Oh no, that was never an option," nobody believes that. Yeah. Nobody believes that.
You got to make sure that deal gets done.
Right.
You know.
Well, and this is a different case because Cutler's a baby.
Yeah.
Every time he
opens, especially when you're dealing with a guy like that, you got to make sure it's.
If they had just said this, then I'd be okay.
Yeah.
If they had just said that, then I'd be okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying he's not to blame.
Girl.
I'm just saying the Broncos could have taken some of the heat off themselves if they had just come out and admitted it right off the bat.
Right now, this is one of those awkward relationship fights in a relationship that's destined to blow up at some point. When you've broken up three times, you get back together. That's where they are right now.
It's like Eric dating his imaginary girlfriend.
Yeah,
everything's good with his imaginary girlfriend. His blow-up one, too.
Darren in Wales says, I'm sorry, Fred, but the Flash is absolutely rubbish. It's giving me a bloody headache. All Flash products are a bloody nightmare because I'm still on dial-up.
Oh, well, that's
your
problem.
Yeah, get off dial-up, Darren.
What percentage of this world is still on dial-up?
About 12%.
Is it?
Yep.
Really?
He's just throwing that number.
No, I'm not.
He has no idea.
I'm not.
He throws it out in conference calls, I'm sure. About 12%.
Phone right now is, who is it from Texas?
Jim.
Jim? Jim from Texas. Jim, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're great.
I got two words for you there, Fred. Comic genius, there's no question. You stay on the show. I mean, they ran it without you a couple times, but Fred, seriously, you're the heart and soul, you're the backbone, you are the brains of the operation.
Damn Skippy. Could you put that in writing and send it to Mr. Robert Kraft, 1 Patriot Place, Foxborough, Mass.
Okay, Eric, are you there?
Yeah, what's up, Jim?
I just want to tell you this, too. I'm what you might call a draft nick. I've been following the NFL draft since 1981, which was the Kenneth Sims draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this, you're an excellent journalist. Everything you read about the combine was dead on. I don't agree with everything you say, but I think you take way too much abuse from those guys.
I agree
with
that part.
Maybe that's the whole purpose of the show.
Thank you.
All right, now having said all that, guys, okay, let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. We got 23, 34, 48, and like 58. So if we lose, if we miss by some miracle, let's just say we get Peppers, which I'm not sold by any means. If we get Peppers and we give up that pick, that still leaves us 23. What about the cornerback out of Vanderbilt? What do you think?
Alphonso Smith?
Yes. No.
I like him. I like him a lot.
Too.
He's a good athlete.
No, that's more. Alphonso Smith's Wake Forest.
I confuse those two all the time. The jerseys look exactly the same.
I think both of them are decent players. I do. I'm not
DJ Moore, that's
DJ
right.
DJ Moore is Vanderbilt.
DJ Moore is
yeah,
the
yeah.
kid from
right.
Vanderbilt.
Alphonso Smith is Wake.
Alphonso Smith is the kid from Wake Forest who I have my concerns about because no one feared him in college. Quarterbacks went right at him.
Right.
That worries me. He made a lot of plays, but
it's kind of like the Eugene Wilson deal where when he was playing out of Illinois, I think he led the nation in pass breakups.
He did. He had a ton of them.
It was one of those things, but I think he played out of position as a safety in the NFL. I think they should have made him a corner, but that's not here nor there.
Right. We'll never know.
Okay. Larry English, big fan of his. I was very excited when I saw the tape y'all had on him. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
He reminds me a lot of a smaller version of Dwight Freeney. Your thoughts on that?
I don't think he has the elite burst
of
Dwight
kind
of Freeney off the edge, but he's been very productive.
He's a playmaker.
I like him.
I do, too. I think that if you get him somewhere in the top of the – if we don't trade for Peppers, I still say this, Larry English might be there at 34. I kind of – and I may be a naysayer, but if you lock up Peppers, it's going to cost you $10-12 million at minimum.
Right.
And then you can't re-sign Wolfric, and you definitely can't re-sign Seymour.
Right.
Or maybe
well,
even Mankin.
You'd have to be very creative in doing so right. if you did.
Yeah, define creative, though, Eric. I mean, seriously, you know, there's only so many dollars under the cap. I like Peppers, but if he wants more than $8 million, which of course he should get,
right.
I can't see them really wanting to do that. And like you said yesterday, Belichick is not going to get him at a discounted rate. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either. I don't, but just looking back when Brady signed his enormous deal,
right.
you know, after the, I think it was after the first Super Bowl, and then he helped the team restructure that so that they could sign free agents a year or so later, and then he did it again to try to get Moss. I'm just saying they have – I don't know exactly what they would do, but I'm just saying they've had
– And Moss just did it.
They've had a history
–
exactly. They have a history of finagling contracts so that the players don't really lose their value, but they're able to spread it out, apportion it differently. That's all I'm saying. It's not out of the question, but it would take some finagling.
Well, I think the biggest issue isn't just the money. It's the – everybody has always – theoretically, they've taken a little less to stay. You know, Matt Light didn't get a full market deal when he was potentially an all-pro tackle.
Which is true.
So all these guys, and then all of a sudden you throw this big money contract out there, whatever it would be, 70, 80 million.
Yes.
You can't then turn around and say, Vince, we want you to take one of these hometown discount type contracts that we give out to people and expect him to take it. Why would he take that after he sees Peppers break the bank?
Right. Which is why I think they're probably trying to get Vince's deal done before they finalize anything with Peppers because, well, A, it would make sense because they would at least know what they have left to deal with.
Anything else on the Jason Taylor front? Any other? They've been very quiet about that.
Well, yeah, and it sounds like everybody thinks that if they want Jason Taylor, they can have him.
That's what it sounds
Pat
like.
Pat Kerwin, yeah. Vic Carucci, Adam Schefter have all kind of hinted at. I know Schefter said it's 50-50. It's the Chargers and the Patriots are the two places he thinks Jason Taylor's going to end up in. And, you know, with the pull of Brady and the winning and the system, he knows the system from playing in it with Nick Saban. Sounds like if they want Jason Taylor, they can have him.
Sounds like to me that they're still holding out hope for Peppers, and if he doesn't,
that's like what you can read into it.
Like I said the other day on the show, I think Peppers is their plan A, Taylor is their plan B. They're still working on plan A. When that absorbs itself, they'll go to plan B.
Do you remember a couple years ago when the Pats played Miami, and it was like, I think when they brought Castle and he threw a pick, and Jason Taylor scored a touchdown on that play? People don't know this, but Taylor can actually drop into coverage.
Right.
He's not stiff as Peppers. He's basically a defensive end.
Was basically a defensive end until he became a linebacker, until Saban made him stand up in the 3-4 that is very similar to what he would do here. There's no saying Peppers can't do that.
It's just that he hasn't. Right. Taylor has done the things that people are projecting Peppers would do here.
And he would cost you an awful lot less,
right.
And you could also keep that pick. I love the idea. I mean, you'd have an all-time great team with Peppers, I believe. He'd get 12 to 15 sacks in that system. But honestly, you give up Larry English and you set yourself up for salary cap trouble a year or two down the road, and they have been one team in the last 5 or 6 years that have, you never hear about the Patriots where they're like, oh my God, we've got to release a bunch of players because our salary cap's all screwed up. Like, remember what happened to the Titans?
Yep.
When we played in that frigid snowball game, they were in salary cap, you know, disarray for 5 years.
Yep.
Because of plays they made. So, hey guys, I love your show. I'm in the Coast Guard. I'm from New England originally.
Thank you for your service.
And you know, you're welcome, brothers. And I just say this, Eric, you got to man up every now and again. When people give you a hard time, you need to fire some back. You know,
Fred,
what I'm saying?
All right, right now we'll have to do that because Fred's laughing at the fact that you're in the Coast Guard.
No, because you stole that from the show that's on the radio.
Fred, I served 8 years in the Marines. So before I joined the Coast
Guard, Semper Fi. My dad's a Marine.
Is that right?
Yes,
who
he is.
He with?
All right, Six Motor Transport.
You line your ass off.
All right, thanks, John. Joe, whatever your name is.
Jim.
You're
Texas.
An idiot.
Here's Why do you have to insult really the guy on the way out?
Here's a big shock. Eric's fan is a guy who spends his life on a boat with other men.
Oh, no.
He's a military man.
What do they call those guys on the sea all day?
I don't ask, and he doesn't have to tell.
Relax, three-gender.
No, there's a conservative radio show on one of the stations in Boston.
J7.
Whenever somebody from the military calls, he goes, thank you for your service.
And rightly so. He should.
I know, but you stole that from him.
I did not steal it from him.
My father was in the Navy, too. So what? My father was a lieutenant commander in the Navy.
Then you should be saying it, too, every time you meet someone or come across someone like that.
Oh, my God.
What's wrong with you?
There's nothing wrong with it. But It's cliche. You got it from Jay Severin.
It's cliche to honor. It's cliche to honor the people who the men and women who are serving in our armed forces.
You know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. If that's what
don't act all sanctimonious with me.
I don't have to act, my friend. That guy got into a fight with Imus. Did you see that the other day?
Severin?
Imus was in Boston for his St. Patrick's Day thing.
Kiss Me, I'm Irish thing.
Yeah. And I guess he and Severin have a feud. Like, he used to be on a show and then stopped for some reason. And he went up to, like, apologize, is trying to, like, mend. And Imus said, get off my set or I'm going to shoot you. And he said, no, I'm really going to shoot you. So he left.
Oh, jeez. What are you doing in here?
What was he doing on the set?
Coming to apologize, apparently.
Right, trying to mend fences.
Smooth things over.
Okay.
Didn't work. He looks a lot like...
Imus has cancer.
Yes. But a fraudulent cancer, from everything I hear.
He's a fraud anyway.
Fraudulent?
He's a
There's
fraud.
Like a 0% chance he dies in the type of cancer he has and when they caught
it. Prostate cancer.
Yeah. And there's like
That's
a
what
zero...
my dad just had.
I know.
Last year.
Oh, here we go.
What?
And according to
Why
health
are you offended
experts,
by all the stuff that's going on?
Virtually a 0% death rate for what he has and when they caught it. Sounds like a ratings.
No, I mean, obviously, if you don't treat it, you can die from it.
Right. But that's part of when they caught it.
Yeah.
It's not 0%, but it's still
what
risky.
The expert I heard was.
All right.
Can I see your MD?
What's that?
Can I see your MD?
Can you see
my
MD? If you want. I don't know.
All right.
Get your head out of your ass?
Dan from Heffron says, for the first time in months, I can listen to you guys live. Thanks for the switch to Flash.
Why? Do some people love it and some people hate it? What's the issue here?
Most people love it. Kamani says, hooray.
I know you focus on the... But what about the guy who can't hear anything?
Because he had dial-up.
So there's no option for him? Can't he download it later or something?
No, he should not. He should get rid of dial-up.
Yeah, he's got to...
Times are tough and he can't afford.
Kamani says, hooray, the Flash player works the first time up during the show, and I see there is a window for updated text. Very nice.
Updated text? What does that mean?
Yeah, and on the thing, you can have scrolling text.
Do we have scrolling text?
I don't know. A lot of things coming in.
Who
about
should
the
I
Flash.
Ask if I don't? If but, I can't but ask the executive director.
The
of new
one
media.
Thing that people do want from these emails that I can see is they want a pause button. So Chris Ferreira.
No. He said it. There is a pause, but it doesn't
it's
work.
It's not working.
It goes back to the beginning. Or
it doesn't pause live like a DVR. If you pause a live show, it picks up where you left off. Apparently, on this, it doesn't.
So we'll have to look into that. Because I would think that you should be able to pause it live, and it just buffers, and then just starts where you...
That's what everybody else would like to think, but
apparently not.
All right, well, let's see. It's 12:55. We need to take the 12:55 break. We'll be right back.
MLS soccer action returns to Foxborough as the Revs kick off the 2009 season.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Be a part of the action all season long as the Revs make another run at the Super League Championship and an MLS Cup Championship. Season tickets are now on sale for the 2009 season. This 20-game package features 15 regular season and 5 exclusive soccer matches. The Revs kick off 2009 on April 4th when they take on FC Dallas. See a Super League final rematch with the Houston Dynamo. Conference rival DC United's only trip to Foxborough. Be there when the LA Galaxy take on the Revs. The reigning MLS Cup champion Columbus Crew and many more. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a goal by Taylor Twellman!
Matt Reese.
Off the line and saved by Reese.
And the rest of the Revs are set to kick off 09. And you won't want to miss a minute of the exciting action at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS to get your 2009 season tickets. Pride, passion, revolution!
Want to be rewarded just for shopping? At Patriot Place in Foxborough, you can be. Use your already existing Visa cards when you visit New England's most unique destination and earn points while enjoying everything Patriot Place has to offer. The points you earn from shopping, dining, and the entertainment at Patriot Place can be redeemed for amazing rewards, like free admission to the hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon, tickets to Gillette Stadium events, autographed Patriots merchandise, and more. The Patriot Place Rewards Program is the first of its kind. Simply enroll your existing Visa cards. There's no approval and no new card. Enrolling is easy and it's free. Register one or all of your existing Visa cards and you'll get all the benefits associated with your existing card, plus Patriot Place rewards at no extra cost. And every time you shop, you'll be entered to win a $1,000 shopping spree. Visit patriot-place.com to enroll your existing Visa cards today. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
coming this summer to Patriots.com. It's the ultimate showdown between pro bowler and pro sketcher. All pro and all show. A guy who's played in the Super Bowl and one who's worked at the Super Bowl. It's Gostowski versus Scalavino.
I have to make 6 out of 10 field goals from 35 yards.
I think you can do that.
Oh, I know I can do it. I'm going to do it.
Wow!
Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime event as the current Patriots kicker faces off against the former college football kicker, whose last kick was 15 years ago for a university that no longer has a football program.
But if I start making 6, 7, if I'm in that range, I might switch left-footed just to show
You've seen Ali Frazier, Duke, North Carolina, Red Sox, Yankees, but nothing will compare to this. It's Gostkowski Scalavino, coming this summer to Patriots.com.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress.
It's a long chew, Fred, huh?
Well, I timed my last bite of veal incorrectly. Not that I finished my sandwich, but the last bite that I took. It's a big sandwich.
You're doing good over there, though.
You have a big mouth.
Who's talking?
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Lively talk going on here. We got everything going on. We got Peppers. We got the draft. We got Flash Player being introduced today. Also, I'd like to hear what people thought about the top 10 list. We did get a lot of criticism.
Really?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people don't believe that Moss should be as high as he is. Don't believe that Harrison or Vrabel is, you know, and Harrison have gone way up in the community polling.
Right.
The Plunkett one has gone down, I guess, but there's some people that believe the Plunkett one should be up higher than it is.
I would say the community voting is very much swayed toward the modern.
Yeah.
I mean
that Plunkett trade is now like fifth or sixth, and I'm sorry, but a quarterback for 3 first-round picks and a second-rounder and a player, that's a ridiculous trade.
Right. I guess regardless of what you ended up with.
Right, it's still 3. That's a ridiculous trade in any sport. I mean, is there NHL, NBA, if you get multiple first-round picks in any sport you play, that's a good trade.
The consensus number one, Bill?
Yeah, I don't think there's been any...
No disputing that?
No disputing that.
And Moss, too, has stayed
strong. Moss, too, has stayed solid, although some people have commented he shouldn't be up there.
Yeah, weird comments, too. Some of them have strayed into just, like, Patriots talk in that whole comment area. It has nothing to do with the
That's
list.
What happens with those things. They go off on tangents and...
Kind of like this show?
A little bit. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. Let's see. A lot of emails coming in. I think it's all the Flash.
Could be.
The Flash is...
I think it's Paul's not here.
Mike in Arlington, Virginia says, I wanted to let you all know that the Twitter idea is brilliant, but the act of using Twitter is not Twittering, as you all have been saying recently. Rather, it's called tweeting. Don't worry, Fred. I still think you're funny, even if my wife thinks you're fat.
Fred, did you see that story about Charlie Villanueva?
Huh?
Tweeting during a Milwaukee Bucks game?
No.
He tweeted at halftime.
He's a player?
Yeah.
He's also a loser, apparently.
What's he doing with a phone on the bench?
At halftime? Injured or
he said it was at halftime?
No, and then he had a big second half.
Really?
Wow. Okay.
Weird.
I still put the under over at 3 months. By training camp, Twittering will be a – or tweeting. I'm not going to say tweeting. I'm going to say it incorrectly on purpose. Twittering will be a thing of the past.
I hate
Twittering.
Let's see. Jeez, Matt from Boston writes in, first of all, unlike Mark from Cheddar,
well,
some of us do care about Northeastern. I guess Mark made fun of Northeastern.
We found the other one.
Right. Secondly, what are your thoughts on Edgerrin James? He's been asking for a release in Arizona, and we have yet to see Lawrence Maroney develop into what we'd hoped he'd be. Teams would have even less of a chance of stopping us if we had the ability to sell the run more often. Even if Maroney doesn't end up successful, we'd have Morris, Falk, Taylor, and Edge.
No.
Is that a possibility, or would that simply be too many running backs?
He's too many running backs. And
too many, he's a baby.
Yeah, I wouldn't want him on the team.
If we hadn't started winning and I hadn't played a little more, I was going to quit. He claims he was just going to quit the team last year, walk away like it was high school, like he was some punk sophomore. Plus, he's like 2.5 yards in a cloud of dust now. He had a couple good games for them down the stretch, but he's got nothing left. He's done.
He's one of those guys that if he came here, I don't know if Bill would be able to handle him because he's just one of those.
That's why Bill would bring him here.
No.
I don't like his teeth looking.
Plus, they signed Fred Taylor for that specific reason.
And Fred Taylor can play.
Right.
Edge, done.
By the way, I'm relieved that you guys stopped talking about the Rihanna and Chris Brown blog. I hope this email doesn't start that again.
I was going to say, don't people know that the one way to make sure we stop talking about it is to not bring it up? As soon as you bring it up in emails, we start talking about it again.
And Bill says that Eric is a slut. Bill is from Vail, Colorado.
I don't really think that's
possible. I don't know
why that. I think he's the opposite.
He calls, hey, large squash Andy, the pompous one Paul, Rump Ranger Eric, and Sasquatch Fred,
Rump
and 2G.
That's a good one. I've never heard that one before.
Look how red his face is.
That's funny.
He could have
your face
a
is as red as my sweater today.
Is that a new sweater, by the way?
Yes, Fred. I will humor you and say yes, it is.
That's he nice. Doesn't have many new clothes.
No, today's St. Joseph's Day,
he has
Fred.
A new pair of sneakers
you know
that are ugly as
today is St. Joseph's Day?
Yes.
What does that mean?
It's the Italian version of St. Patrick's Day. You're supposed to wear red and you eat Zeppoli.
And no one cares.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
No offense to the Italians.
It's probably
out
one
there.
Of the most little known things ever.
I said it last year on the show and you had the same reaction.
Oh.
That's how little known it is. Right. You said it a year ago and it still didn't catch on in the last year.
Right, yeah, because no all the people that listen to this show
what's
are going to make
what's
it.
What's the alcoholic
worldwide
beverage
phenomenon.
You're supposed to drink afterwards?
You know, whatever you want.
Are you supposed to listen to Led Zeppelin?
Yes.
Let's see. Bill says, I'm confused about the possible uncapped year coming up. What does it all mean? Are players who are under contract when the CBA expires, are they still under contract? If so, why wouldn't free agents go for shorter contracts in order to be free agents shopping around in an uncapped year? And if not, would it be possible that a rookie out of college could sign a bigger contract than, say, the top-played veteran? No. If you're under contract.
You're under contract.
And they go into this, they do, in fact, go into this uncapped year. The contract is still in effect.
Right. The uncapped year is simply about the cap. It's not about the
it's
end
about
of
how
the
much
CBA.
They could spend
it's
thereafter,
a year before
not,
the CBA
right,
ends.
Right.
Now, my question is, once they reach a lockout, contracts are sort of voided for that period, correct? You're not under contract if you're being locked out, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, no business gets done.
So if this UFL takes hold by any chance, players could go play there?
That's what they're saying.
Yeah. It's a very complex proposal.
But and by the way, the uncapped year is complex. There's other rules involving teams that make the final four and the final eight. They're limited in their free agent signings.
Right.
They can only really replace free agents that they lose. But 4 years to 6 years on
right.
free agency.
There's a lot of penalties that would that incent both sides, the owners and the players, not to have an uncapped year.
What's your percentage guess that it happens? That there's a lockout.
That's different than an uncapped year.
No, I'm just saying that this there will be labor strife. Let's put it that way.
I'm saying 70% chance that there will not be a lockout.
Well, which means there probably won't be an uncapped year. Because if they get to the uncapped year, then you've already kind of down the road where it's all ugly.
My prediction is it gets done before this season.
Before this
before the end of this season. Before the end of this season.
Oh, yeah. I do, too. Because I don't think they get to the uncapped year. Because to me, if they get to the uncapped year, you've already blown some stuff up. You might as well go all the way. So I think it gets done before March 1st of next year, 2010.
All right. Also, Bill says, Eric, you got it all wrong, man. First off, women, not men. Second, the high road is fine, and it is better way to go most of the time. Paul, but when you do, you can't sit there stewing. It just invites more barbs. Laugh it off and wait for your moment to stick back. I mean, you've got a killing field in front of you. You got Fred Hairy Man Boobs over there who looks like he's a slice of bacon away from a massive heart attack. You got Andy Hemorrhoids, acres of land, indentured servants, and cockhead underwear.
What?
And then there's, you know, that
what?
The rooster.
You're present.
Remember?
I do, but I'm not sure everybody listening had that story in mind, so they just heard you say a bad word.
No, you had the underwear with the rooster on it.
That's not what you said, though.
You rhymed with rock.
Well, that's
Rockhead.
And then there's 2G, who I can't help to think of as Don Knotts at the controls of the space shuttle.
I don't know who Don Knotts is.
That's well done.
You know Don Knotts.
You know
Come
who
on.
Don Knotts
Barney
is.
Barney Fife.
No, don't start throwing that name. He's not going to know that. That's way
Such
too
an
long.
Idiot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mr. What's his name?
From Three's Company.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't know who Don Knotts is. Yeah, exactly.
Jason from Providence, you know him?
Yes.
Maybe he came to your house. By the way, how's the art gallery going?
No news yet, Fred.
No news?
I'll tell you when there's news.
Now, do you get an update if somebody's looking at this? Somebody emails me.
Nobody.
We have a tweet.
Nobody
do you
tweets.
Have a Twitter site set up
no,
for your art?
Not yet, no.
You should.
I'm waiting to see if this thing takes hold, because this could good. Be a...
This thing takes hold. There's like 50 million people using it.
Right now. It could be a fad. There was a lot of people on MySpace a year ago, and now where are they? They're all on Facebook.
Okay.
We'll give it time.
Jason from Providence says, now that the Patriots have signed key players at wide receiver and cornerback, is it imperative that we go after two linebackers on the first day, or should we focus more now on the offensive line?
O-line's going to be a mid-round selection.
I don't know about that. Unless somebody...
No, it could be second round. Anything we would normally say is going to be mid-round, to me this year, you can say second round because they have the four picks early.
Right, but I don't see them doing that. I think he's implying like first two picks, the 23 and the 34. I don't
if
see
they get
them
their
getting...
outside linebacker via veteran free agency with either Peppers or Taylor, and they take a corner or a safety at 23, I could see them going offensive line or running back or wide receiver.
At 34?
Yep.
I still think it might be a little too high.
It could be. But I could see him doing it. I could see them getting a tackle to add to the mix because they have an overrated left and nobody at right.
Hey, bad news for Dante Stallworth. Television station in Miami is reporting that he was slightly over the legal limit.
Oh.
So that's not good.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, I mean, you obviously feel worse for the guy he hit, but...
Yes, that's true.
No, but yeah, I mean, he was a good guy when he was here. He never gave us any problems.
His life will never be the same.
He could go to jail, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. On the phone right now is Steve from New Hampshire. Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great.
What's up, Steve?
I got a couple things, and then I'll let you guys talk. But the one thing is, on that the best moves ever, bar none, is Kraft bringing in Belichick. And then I think you just go in chronological order, if I can say that right. After that, as far as the free agents go, which, you know, and that's why we are where we are today, I mean, without a doubt. And with that, I say I don't think the Peppers thing is going to happen. If Belichick's going to do something, I think he's going to go the Fred Taylor route because it's just more cap-friendly and
Jason
more
Taylor,
in
you mean?
His style. But the one thing I'm wondering about is who do we really have behind Matt Light? He's like, I think, my concern. I think that's something we definitely got to cover. And then more towards Eric, I don't know if you can do it in the paper. Or I don't know if you guys just want to talk about it. But I'm really curious about, like, you know, that rookie Brad Lastoria. What do you guys expect from maybe this year from whatever, Angelo Craig, Bo Rudd, Vince Red, all these guys we really don't talk too much about. But is there a sleeper inside there? You know, for this season, maybe.
Well, we'll let you know when they start actually playing.
I'm curious what you guys were thinking.
He's not and talking then, about Tank
My
Williams.
Gut feeling, I think Fred Taylor's going to have a monster year. I think that's.
I agree with that.
It's going to be a great surprise for us, but that's just my guess. But so I'll let you guys talk.
I'll listen. All right.
See you, Steve.
All right. Those are young guys.
He's not talking about Tank Williams. He was talking about young guys, bottom of the roster, practice squatters, and returning draft picks.
Tank Williams is a guy that fell off all our radar because he got hurt early. And
he falls off the radar every year
because
he blows
gets hurt early every year.
No, he's going to be good this year.
No.
You're an idiot.
But yeah. He's somebody that no one is counting on.
Angelo Craig, I know nothing
solid
about.
Solid contributions.
Bo Rude, I know a little bit about, and what a little I know I don't like. Vince Red, I'm madly in love with. And if he can get in the weight room and change his girlish figure, I think he'd be okay. Who else was in that group?
Brad Lastoria,
know nothing
UMass
about.
Kid.
UMass kid.
Tight
local
end.
Boy makes good, I doubt it. I mean, you have Watson, Thomas, and Baker. So, in all likelihood, he's not even going to make the roster.
Right. And don't forget the other tight end that they had last year was on and off. I can't remember his name now. Tyson DeVry. He's still on the roster,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I forgot him, so... I'll just forget him and stick with the three.
But, yeah, none of these guys that he all mentioned were guys that we really didn't see play at all.
Last time I saw Bo Rudy was on crutches.
Tyson DeVry. Chris in Stamford, formerly from the Bronx, says, I wanted to let you know that someone without dial-up, that the Flash is working well in general, but there have been about five pauses for about 2 seconds each in the first hour. Well, 2 seconds isn't bad.
It's annoying.
Overall,
it doesn't seem like a lot, but it's like when we're driving up to the TV show and your satellite radio, we go under an overpass and we lose the radio right as they get to the punchline of the dirty joke on Howard Stern.
Overall, though, it's good to have the phone number and web address posted in the flash window, so I'd call it an improvement. Okay.
Okay.
Got to get that pause button working, though. Andy answered this question about linebackers on Ask PFW, so I thought I'd ask it about defensive backs. Who will be the four or five starters on the Patriots roster this fall, including nickelback? I'm really interested to see what Springs has left. Good work, guys. Looking forward to the summer, especially the Scalavino kicking tournament.
Yeah, good luck with that.
So am I. I'm waiting for the All-Pro to step up.
In the top five of defensive backs, I'll go Sanders, Merriweather, Springs, Bodden, Hobbs.
Come on. Yeah. That's, I'm going to go with that same.
Well, I mean.
And I say Hobbs falls out of the rotation by midseason.
So he starts as the nickel corner.
No. I think he's going to start. I think he and Bodden will start the year. And then.
So you're going against the Debate Friday argument we made last week.
Yeah, because I think it's going to be a young guy that overtakes him, and I think Bill will come down to the wire. Yeah, Bill will come down to the wire and not be quite ready to make that decision to go with the young guy to open the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then
at some point he's going to get frustrated. And
I think Springs is going to be the nickel slash Merriweather part safety part blah blah blah.
What about when they play the Bills?
Yeah, I'm not sold on the whole kryptonite.
I'll make a prediction right now. Wheatley gets more reps than Springs this year.
That is going out on a limb.
Well, in my little scenario, that's possible. If he becomes a starter in October and Springs is a nickel fill-in safety slash guy, that's possible.
Okay.
Now, you think he'll be a starter from day one or
no.
At all?
Oh, you mean Springs or Wheatley?
Wheatley.
No, he's not going to be a starter on day one. But he could.
So you kind of agree
with
me.
He could start.
Like last year, he sort of
across
grew
from
into
Bodden,
the role.
I'm thinking.
That's kind of how I'm leaning. But I'm not giving up on Will Hite.
Well, I'm not giving up on Hobbs either.
I am.
I'm
just not so sure that Bill will be ready day one.
See, here's the thing that, you know, football fans in every city make the mistake of. This is a passing league because
of guys like Ellis Hobbs.
No. Well, because the receivers normally have the advantage over the cornerbacks.
True.
There just aren't a lot of great cover cornerbacks out there. So it's a receiving league. And we see Ellis Hobbs every play. So all his mistakes get magnified. But believe me, he's not that bad a cornerback when you compare him across the league. He's really not.
I will probably agree with that. But he doesn't make enough plays for it.
Well, but no corner. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's the league that we're in.
But in that league you're talking about.
If he made the amount of plays that we want from our cornerback, we'd have one of the greatest defenses in the league.
No, but we brought this comparison up in the past. Otis Smith made a lot of plays. Gave up a lot of plays, too, but was a big play kind of guy in both directions. Hobbs, I just never see make a play, and he just lets guys catch the ball and tackle, and he's always got the cushion. I don't see anything from him. I don't see him around the ball.
How many interceptions did he have last year?
I don't know.
Oh, last two? Two or three?
Yeah.
Might add three.
I mean, you know, that's
every time he gets a pick, it's a tipped ball.
You still have to be in the right position.
Not necessarily. You could be in the complete wrong position. The ball gets batted in the air and it comes down to you like a punt.
He's not like Ty Law where he anticipates a play and jumps a route. He doesn't take those type of chances. You know, that's
because he's usually about 8 yards.
But there's a lot.
When he does, he's always like a second
or so
late.
And there's not many players that can do that in this league.
I don't want him to be Ty Law. I just want him to be okay.
He is okay.
Oh, he stinks.
He doesn't.
He was questionable as a number two behind Samuel, was terrible as a perceived number one corner. He's going to get passed up. All along I've said what you say, that he's the best of what you got. He's not that bad. I think they've added enough depth now, though, so that he's not going to be the best of what you got.
Well, now that might be true.
And if they draft a guy in the first round or early in the second round, it'll be a competition.
If Wheatley can show, you know, that he can take over, he might start opposite Lee Bodden.
And not break his wrists.
Yeah, well.
Does he now have a rod in the other one?
Beg your pardon?
It's easy. Everything about him is...
You
say rod, and he gets all excited over there. He spilled his juice all over himself.
He's eating oranges, and it's like squirting all over his nice new sweater.
Suji, did you watch the...
need a minute?
Did you watch the South Park?
Is that a hair gel?
Did you watch the Jonas Brothers South Park
episode?
Oh,
very good South Park for the...
Go online and watch
it.
It's only 20 minutes.
Isn't that part of your job to watch those for sound bites and stuff?
There are plenty of them in that.
That's why
one.
We don't have sound bites in this show anymore.
Oh, my God. Do yourself a favor.
We need a new producer.
Thankfully, we're getting one.
See, when Gary was here, he was either engaged or married, so he would sit on his couch and do all this stuff. Tucci's out. He's in the bars.
He's got a long-term girlfriend.
Does she live in locally?
Yeah.
Does she?
He was with her when he slit his wrist or whatever.
Over her?
No. She made him wash dishes or something.
Wow.
Don't you listen to my stories, Fred?
No.
No.
Nobody listens to you.
So you're not out, you know, cruising the bars?
You're not out.
No.
You're not out plumbing?
No, just out.
No?
You know, out.
Oh.
Like you're not out either?
Let's see. Matt says, Andy, first off, great job with everything you and the staff do at PFW. My question is...
Thank you. I do like what my staff does for me. Since when do I have a staff?
What the hell is this?
Who's this? I like this.
This is Matt.
Hey, Matt, what's up?
My question is in regards to this hole at outside linebacker. With all the talk about Peppers and how coming to a new system and changing positions being debated, does it seem to be a stretch to bring back Colvin?
Yes.
He was good enough to bring in last year to fill in, knows this Pat system, and would cost far less. Yeah.
He sucked.
Is he just not that good a fit? Nah, we don't want him.
He was absolutely abysmal upon his return last December.
I got bigger things to worry about. I still got to figure out how I'm going to have my first bowel movement.
Oh, hey, Dartmouth High School, Matt Chandler.
Oh, hey, Matt.
P.S., I hope your wife and kids are doing well.
Speaking of Marines.
Andy had a colonoscopy. He doesn't
remember things. You owe him a thank you. He's a Marine.
Oh, so you do remember that, huh?
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service, Matt.
Multi trips over to Iraq.
Dave in New York says
you said that mockingly, Fred. I don't like the attitude you had when you said that.
Fred, it is kind of inappropriate. I'm keeping my silence. Fred's absolutely mocking the military.
No, I am not.
You are.
No, I'm mocking Eric for, you know.
He
for,
is cliche. Like I said, I agree with the
cliche. My father was a lieutenant commander in the Navy, all right?
Good. You should be proud of that.
The bottom line we've learned here is neither of you two lived up to your dad's reputation. That's the problem here. They were both good military men.
That's true. You grew
up to be an artist, and you grew up to be you.
I grew up to be your boss. So what does that say about you?
Well played, sir.
I say in 15 years, how old are you?
82.
You won't be my boss by the time I'm your age.
David, New York City says,
dead.
Good work, fellas. I can finally listen live at work with the Flash format. Now my job is way less soul-crushing. I think you just doubled your live audience.
I hope so. We need to improve the ratings.
So what we've learned this week, Ask PFW is less boring than school, as you put it, and now work...
I'm just going by what our listeners
work tell. Is less mind-numbing. I mean, this show is less mind-numbing than work.
So we're solidly
we're doing
average.
Okay. Yeah.
A. Fox from Charlotte writes in. Listen to your show last
week. Now, is it A. period Fox or
A. period
a
Fox.
Fox?
No, he's not a Fox.
Oh. How do you know it's a he?
I don't.
Remember when Samantha Fox had that 1-900 line?
Oh, my. That video was incredible.
Who's Samantha Fox?
Remember Samantha Fox?
A pop singer from late 80s, like maybe?
Yeah, late 80s. She was like a paid pinup girl in England.
Did you blog about her?
I don't think there were blogs back then.
I listened to your show last week and heard an interesting bit on the possible commentary of preseason games. I believe this to be the smartest move of the progression of media. I recommend a step further. Audio commentary on films can go two ways. If you look at the Lord of the Rings films, there are four commentaries per film. Listening to the cast is rubbish, but listening to Peter Jackson would be like listening to Belichick. However, the post-production and production team was the most interesting. I think you guys could be like the post-production commentary, not the cast. And for diehard Pats fans, this could really evolve the fan access of the inside of the greatest NFL organization, book reviews of the Patriots-related books and DVDs, blah, blah, blah.
He wants us to do that for preseason games.
Speaking of the media, do you think
me?
They will...
He's comparing us to the fans of the biggest movie franchise in history, or one of them, the Lord of the Rings, like multi-billion-dollar franchises. And we're just a little rinky-dink paper.
Speaking of the media, do you think they will ever release a DVD on the 2007 season, even though they lost the big one? The DVD 21, not the stupid Vegas movie with Kevin Spacey, but the one on our streak was kind of a peek at this. I don't think so.
Why would you want to watch that?
That's what Bill told the team afterwards, that it was all for naught.
Why would you want to watch? Why would you want to go back and relive that horror?
Well, it wasn't really hard.
Well, as long as it ends with the Giants game 16-0.
You know what that season was? That was, you know how Bill always talks about, you're falling off the skyscraper and you're waving and smiling to everybody as you pass every floor. That was that season. There were 18 floors that were happy and partying, and then you hit the ground. That was Super Bowl. You're still down about it?
No. No.
Now the guy steps off the building. He's waving each floor as he goes by. It's great, you know, until he hits the pavement.
That's what happened that year. 18 great waves.
Yeah.
And then pavement.
Let's see. Brian is from UNC at Chapel Hill. And he says, I just want to
say. Your boy Obama picked the Tar Heels, by the way. Did you
I know,
see that?
I didn't like him taking time to do that.
Are you being
Speaking
serious?
Of Barack Obama. Yeah.
Oh, God. You sound like Coach Krzyzewski. All my you friend people need to get
My friend
a
brought up a good point, though. He thought maybe Krzyzewski was kidding because he picked UNC.
I assumed. That's one of those I'd like to see video of it, not the written quote, because in the written quote, he sounds like he's mad
serious.
And being a jerk like Fred
I
is right now. And
he did? Mm-hmm. Was he being serious?
Kind of. Half and half. Yeah.
Well, he's kind of like you, Eric. He's a little. He thinks himself better than everyone. He probably thinks if he were in the White House that he could fix
it
faster.
And it's not that I don't think he should have done it, Andy. It's just that it's just given the other side more ammunition to me.
Who cares about the other side?
I do. I'm very defensive.
He's not working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He can't do it. No one can.
You know I'm not his biggest fan, but I don't fault him for filling out a bracket.
No.
Good.
I actually appreciate
you guys are bigger than
a president that has a personality,
exactly.
That has a life, that has a family. I like the swing set that they put on the lawn at the White House. That's part of – you're a human being when you're in the White House.
I wish everyone felt that way.
But you don't feel that way. He's your guy, and you're mad at him for doing –
you're mad at him for filling out a bracket.
I think it's okay. It's just I wish he hadn't done it because there's some faction of America
– they're idiots.
He's right.
And I'm usually an idiot, but they're idiots.
He's right about that, too. His being an idiot.
All right. Let's see. Brian writes in, I just want to say while I support the move to Flash, I want to point out that Patriots.com does not work on Linux. Now that you've moved to Flash, I can't listen to the show live because I can't even see the website.
Keep talking.
You can install Flash on Linux. It's just that Chris borked up the site a long time ago.
Chris borked it up?
Why are we reading those emails? Aren't there any football emails?
2G, we'll miss you, brother. Don't be a stranger on the show after you leave. We need someone to bust on Eric here and there just to get him off his high horse. Andy does an all right job, but your jabs are usually quite entertaining.
When was the last time he had one?
As for Peppers.
Not even he can remember.
As for Peppers, I can understand the trepidation, but when I was in grad school at UNC, I got the chance to see that man play both football and basketball. I have no doubt he can handle outside linebacker. He didn't just play basketball at UNC. He was a vital part of the team and a starting forward. I'm not a huge hoops fan, but you have to admit that it involves a lot of athleticism. A man of that size playing top-tier college basketball cannot be ignored.
That's true.
And Brian is from Brighton.
But using that logic, Antonio Gates played top-tier college basketball, and I'll just sign him to play outside linebacker. I'm not saying Julius Peppers is not a great athlete. Is he going to be a great outside linebacker? Because you're paying him to be a great outside linebacker. That's the difference. And just because he's an athletic person doesn't mean it necessarily equates.
No, it doesn't.
You know who else was a great athlete that got a lot of money? Adalys Thomas. It has not equated to the value for that money. Thank you.
Justin writes in, given that Peppers has $17 million guaranteed on the table for just this year, how big of a signing bonus do you think will it take to get him under contract? How long of a deal would it take? The security of a multi-year signing bonus is a priority for players due to the risk of injuries, which is why they always complain about huge franchise tag contracts. Even if he decides to take less money to play for a winner, is there any way the Pats sign him with a bonus under $35 million? My concern is that when you give out a huge bonus like that, it can really hurt your team if he gets hurt because there's no way out for the team. Do you think Peppers is worth the risk?
What are you thinking long-term means? 5-6 years?
I would say it's a minimum of a 6-year deal.
What if they were looking for something more short-term but more front-loaded? Give him his guarantee quickly, get him 3 years, let's say. Would you be more agreeable to that?
Sure. I don't know how it would work with the cap, but
what about 4 years, $40 million, 30 of it guaranteed?
4 years, $40 million, 30 guaranteed. So his cap number is around $10 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably do it.
You would do it. Would you do it if you're Peppers?
I have no idea. That's the wild card here.
Yeah.
He claims he wants to go to a 3-4. So once you kind of pinpoint where you want to go, you need to give something up.
you're no longer just a mercenary. You've kind of said, I want certain things. And if he wants to play for a winner in a 3-4, then obviously the Patriots fill that void.
Yeah.
Okay, we filled your void. You need to help us out a little bit here.
And not only that, from what we've heard, it sounds like of all of his big four, this one is the number one.
Right. Here. I mean, there are rumors that the other three are the Cowboys.
Dallas,
which is
a little out of the question.
For so many reasons, but also they haven't won a playoff game in forever. So if he really wants to win and play, that's not the right place.
I can't see him going to play for Wade Phillips.
Washington was supposedly on the list, which they don't play a
3-4. They don't have any more money.
And they don't play a 3-4. So I don't know how that got in there. I mean, this is the place.
Philadelphia, I heard.
Philadelphia doesn't play a 3-4. And
now Kansas City might.
Competitive.
Do you think Kansas City might go to a 3-4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've got plenty of money, right?
Yeah.
So.
But we get back to the winning thing.
Well, he's a nice young team.
I'm not sold on that. That's one. I think Kansas City could be good quickly. Yeah. If they make the right decisions, if Castle's legit. You know, everybody says in the whole McDaniels, Pioli thing, Bill sent him to a team that was less dangerous. I'm not so sure that the Chiefs are less dangerous than the Broncos.
Yeah, if all
the
these rookies and first,
just because the Broncos
guys
had 8 wins last year and the Chiefs had 3, I mean, if all those guys can play,
yeah,
we've seen it. You know, last year it would have been safe to send Castle to the Dolphins because they're 1-15 and less dangerous right up until the point they won 11 games or whatever it was this year.
Won the division. Right.
So this whole more dangerous, less dangerous is a dangerous game to play in the NFL.
Justin says also, how does the potential for an uncapped 2010 season figure into Pepper's contract? Could the Patriots give him a contract with a $10 million roster bonus next year to keep his cap number down for the other years of the deal? I'm not saying that they should necessarily do this, but I'd just like some more details about the possibility of an uncapped season.
Some of that stuff can be done. Now, you have to be careful in that, what is it, the 20% rule or the 30% rule? The cap number can't increase by more than 20 or 30% in any given year. So it's not like you can give him not much this year and then jump it up next year, because a roster bonus all goes on 1 year. So his cap number for next year would be like $14 million. So that has to be within the percentage of whatever he has this year. And there's no question that the uncapped year in the CBA is a factor in this. I mean, Bill has openly acknowledged that. How could you not at least consider that? Even if you're the most hopeful of people and think, they'll
you
do a new
a
CBA with
plan.
A similar system.
Right.
You got to kind of make sure you have an out. Mm-hmm. You can't blind. If you blindly dive into that, that's what the people were doing with subprime mortgages.
We
could be in an NFL meltdown mode if people don't plan on some level for that.
Craig of Rhode Island asks, could Julius Peppers under Bill Belichick be another Lawrence Taylor?
Sure.
Why not?
I think in terms of freakish athleticism, impact, potential, it's all there. Could.
We have to wait and see.
Would he? I don't know. If he's Lawrence Taylor, then he'll be worth the contract they hand to him.
All right. On the phone right now is John from Palm Bay. John, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're doing great.
Good,
how
John.
You doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Hey, I was just wondering, I'm looking at a couple of draft previews, and I kind of like this guy, Juan Beatty from UConn, left tackle.
Yeah, he's a guy who's considered to be maybe the highest upside of the tackles, but kind of raw. I've actually seen the Patriots link to him a little bit as a potential second-round pick. He's kind of in that next tier of tackles, but just in terms of ability, a lot of people think he has a huge, huge upside.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too, because when I was looking at some sites, I'd like to see him pick him as a flyer in the second round.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be
second pick.
That's what I was talking about. Somebody like him, if they got whoever they wanted at 23, I wouldn't be surprised to see them take a tackle who, maybe even a tackle who starts out on the right side for a year or two and then replaces Light on the left side moving forward. Supposedly, he's a guy that has that type of talent.
John?
Okay, I'll look forward to it.
All right, John, wait. Stay on the line. Our producer wants to talk to you for a minute, so stay on the line.
All right, John and Palm Bay, always bringing it. Now you switch him off. Okay.
He has no idea how to use that equipment.
He's learning.
It's like you with your gutter cleaner. He has no idea how to use it.
Let's see. Charles in
your
Sixburg
juicer.
Says, I'm a Patriots fan near Pittsburgh.
Sixburg.
Since Brady is back and we can hope for another possibly record-setting offense, I would like your comments about their strategy on defense. One problem highlighted in the Super Bowl loss is the strategy of having a bend-but-don't-break defense. It seems to me that this is exactly the wrong strategy if you have an explosive offense like the Patriots. The Pats can afford to take chances on defense because even if they get burned occasionally, you know the offense will get the ball back. My feeling is that you should try to give the offense as many possessions as possible. I think we should blitz more with tighter coverage. What are your thoughts?
Sure. I like that. I'm all for getting away from the defense they played last year, which was vanilla and sit back and flood zones and wait, because they got beat.
And you know, the defenses they had when they won the Super Bowls was it was more aggressive than what they had last year, but it was considered a bend but don't break because they would let teams drive down inside the red zone, but then they would put the wall up and teams wouldn't score.
I think they were a little, they made more plays then. I think they were a little more aggressive, but I think they've always been a good bully defense. When the offense gets them a lead, then they come to their best.
Right.
When they get in a dogfight, then they're in trouble because they're, you know, it's Mike Vrabel. The reason he had 12 and a half sacks is because all those teams were playing three scores down and they were pinning their ears back and going after the quarterback. I think this has always been a good bully team, and regardless of what you're doing, if you're a little more aggressive on defense, you can have those games where it snowballs. You get a couple picks, you get the ball back to the offense, and you start scoring points, but it can go the other way, too. You can maybe let some teams in a game that they shouldn't be if you played it straight. So they went with the play it straight last year. I didn't love it.
Okay.
Now, maybe they didn't have the talent. Maybe it'll be totally different with Bodden and Springs and Peppers or Taylor, and you know, there's
Mayo in
just because
year.
It may not be a philosophical change from last year to this year based on what you see. It may be because Bill looks at his talent differently and what he has to work with.
John in South Carolina says, "Hey guys, and Andy, the ShamWow lover. I do not see how we can sign Peppers and continue to build the team. Am I wrong? With the cost of Peppers, how would we fill the gap at safety and inside linebacker? So does signing Peppers sacrifice force every other position to be filled from the gap?"
Well, not necessarily, because according to Vic Carucci, the plan is to get Peppers and then get Ray Mauluga, and then you're set at inside linebacker, you're set at outside linebacker. Depth at safety would have to come in the second round and the later picks there. But I don't think it...
But they have Tank Williams at safety.
That's
true. I forgot.
Right.
Right up until the day they cut him on whatever that is, August 29th or September 1st.
He's the Wildcat defensive player. Craig Bunce writes in.
Craig is back
our
again.
Our favorite listener is back again on a regular basis.
I don't see Hobbs starting. Between free agency and the draft, there will be plenty of opportunities to pick up a legitimate starter. If Hobbs starts, somebody fell asleep at the wheel. He can't play man-to-man or zone. Back when our red zone D was awesome, his failure did not hurt us as much. He is a backup or nickelback at best.
I agree.
I still say Peppers comes to New England and our draft picks will be defensive back first, then outside linebacker, wide receiver, offensive line. We had White in for a look primarily at wide receiver. What's your take on this?
White?
Pat White, West Virginia, quarterback.
I think Bill is very much intrigued by him and any player of that
ilk,
as I like to say. But I think that player could be Percy Harvin as well.
Yeah, we were hearing, you were saying earlier when we were up in the office that some mocks have Harvin slipping into the second round. And if that's the case, that'd be a steal for the Patriots.
Bill has, over the years, a couple different times, Brad Smith, a couple of these guys he's talked about, he has almost had a lustful tone in his voice when talking about him. Like, you wonder, he's thinking, I'd like to have somebody like that to play with. And he's never really had the guy. Mm-hmm. So I do think, given the right value, that they would take a chance on a guy.
So you
like
think
that.
He kind of was ahead of his time, like when those guys came along. This was before the Wildcat became popular. He was sort of envisioning.
Yeah, I mean, even to some degree, Cordell Stewart. Like I think he was intrigued by going way back. I mean, going back a decade now, basically. I think he's always. I mean, he's a pretty innovative football guy. You know, he knows a lot about the game dating back to all the single wing and the stuff his dad did. Mm-hmm. And I think he's always been intrigued by ways to diversify both on offense and defense. And I think he'd be open to that. I mean, we know the only guy higher on his list of love children than Tim Tebow is Ed Reed.
Of course.
He has lusted after Tebow for the last 2+ years. I mean, it's unbelievable. But if he could get his hands on him in a heartbeat, I think he'd take him. Pat White isn't, you know, too shabby. He's a similar, much smaller, but, and everybody says that the Wildcat's going to take it to the next level when somebody throws out of it. And don't tell me Pat White can't throw out of it.
Oh,
he's not an NFL every down quarterback,
but he
in
can
my
throw
mind,
the ball.
But he can throw the ball. If Moss or Joey Galloway you know, gets a step on a guy, he can throw it up there and let them run underneath it. So I wouldn't be stunned to see a Pat White pick late in the second round.
Yeah, me neither.
Paul writes in, can I now listen to PFW in Progress on the iPhone, or am I having to wait for Apple to pull their finger out? You can't listen to it live, but you could always download the PFW in Progress and listen to it on your iPhone as an MP3.
Because you can get the web on the iPhone, but you can't get the stream?
iPhone doesn't allow Flash yet. I heard that's coming maybe
what
soon.
Is the finger thing he said at the end? Pull their finger out of it?
I think we might. He's from London. Maybe here we say pull your thumb out or pull your head out.
I don't know what the thumb one means either, and I'm here.
Pull your thumb out of your ass. Oh. You never heard that before?
I don't know.
No?
I probably have.
You had a colonoscopy.
I don't know my ass from my elbow.
Let's see. Matt with an S. So his name is Matt's.
That's Matt.
He writes in, Flash is a huge improvement. Nice work. Now, please sell me on Galloway. Obviously, he's an upgrade over Gaffney, but is he, at this point in his long career, the kind of explosive threat that Stallworth was in 07?
He could be.
Do we really need a possession-type receiver?
Stallworth was one in 07.
Oh, yes.
So was Joey Galloway in 07. They both stunk in 08. They might have had... Stallworth had like 11 catches,
did he
just
get
like
hurt?
Galloway. He had a couple injuries, but it was a terrible year. But Galloway battled an injury and supposedly was back to full speed by late in the year after three straight 1,000-yard seasons. Mm-hmm. His career average is like 15.9 or 15.7. He's a big play guy. And if he's still running like that, you don't need him to catch 100 balls. You need him to catch 35 or 40.
Right.
And
just
I'm
like
not
Stallworth
sure we
did in
said
07.
That he was going to replace Gaffney, but clearly with Lewis and Galloway, you've taken a nice step towards replacing Gaffney, who, by the way, couldn't catch.
Let's see. Sean McLaughlin.
Johnny!
There. Trying to get this email up here.
What is
he says, hello one and all. I know a lot of people are still in the fantasy process of Peppers coming to New England, but some other topics that are much more important out there and being the so-called slow season, thought we could touch on it. One, I don't know if you talked about this, but what are your thoughts on the new man in charge of the NFLPA? And what will this mean going forward as far as a labor stoppage? Work stoppage is no good for anyone, but the league, which is the best league and sport around, will be making the biggest mistake of its history if there is a work stoppage.
Word.
I think and hope they will come to their senses by next year and not go into an uncapped year, but the idiots like Jerry Jones, Dan Snyder, and maybe even Al Davis will spend like it's no tomorrow. I don't think that the crash will be like that, so I think as fans we should hope that they get their ducks in a row or else 2011 will be the worst fall a lot of fans have not seen in some time.
I don't know a whole lot about him, about DeMaurice Smith as a person. I know he's a lawyer in D.C., whatever, but...
I never heard of him until he became the new head of the NFLPA.
I'm hopeful that he and Goodell and the owners can get something done before the end of this season.
Well, here's...
I think they both know, all the sides know that it's not in their best interest to have any sort of lockout or any sort of labor strife.
I hope that the NFL... and the Players Association come to the table with a more open mind than the NFL and Comcast did. Because remember
that
was just a debacle from the get-go.
That was ugliness.
You have to look for a win-win situation. You can't look to get the better of the other side.
And they both need to get to the point where they're going to be truthful with each other on some level.
Right.
Right now, you know, the players think the owners are making money hand over fist, and the owners are trying to sell that they're making no money. They're
right.
The truth is somewhere in the middle there. They're either making some or losing a little, whatever.
And I think the current economic climate may help get a deal done sooner, because look at what's happened with AIG. You know, just the mention of executives getting that much money is causing a flood of all this negative attention and you know, people calling for resignations and taxing all this money. I think they're going to be conscious of that and try to come to sort of reasonable agreement for all sides, knowing that there could be a backlash if they start acting that, you know, one side or the other is getting too greedy. It could backfire on them.
Two, with the economy and how much doom and gloom is out there, how is that affecting things such as luxury boxes and season ticket re-ups? Was very curious on that subject and hoping you could touch on it. I think here we're not having any problem, fortunately.
Jerry Jones having a little bit of problems in Dallas with his...
I thought he had sold like two-thirds of them, though, or even more than that. It was like 275 or...
Yeah, he had
sold
two-thirds,
like,
but he was hoping to sell three-thirds.
Right, but
They're not all sold.
No, but I thought maybe he's inflating his numbers then. I thought I saw that he'd sold like 275 out of the
I believe that was inflated. I think it was a little lower than that.
More like 200, maybe?
I think 2 years ago, or 3 years ago when they were planning this whole thing, the idea was we'll sell those out immediately, mm-hmm. and now they're not.
Right.
So, you know, it's not – the landscape is different with all of them, with Citi Field or whatever it is in New York
yep.
and all these places. I mean, look at that, Citi Field.
Yeah.
Who knows if there'll be a city?
Well, they're starting to do better, they say. They had a great quarter. So
that could go south, and you know these things they rise and fall at different times. And when it's in billions and trillions, you can make a billion and lose it just as quickly.
Sean also says, on a serious note, I did not think there would come a day I would be glad to hear from Craig in South Carolina, then read a column on Friday by John in L.A. But that day has come. Granted, this
not
John from L.A. is talented, and his resume speaks for itself. I think it belongs more on a fan site than on Patriots.com. But then again, this is coming from me, who thought up until this week that Paul Fitzy Fitzgerald was a real guy and is really Nick Stevens, a comedian who was on the ESPN Sports Channel reality gig.
I didn't know anything about that.
Well, I knew that Fitzy guy was a comedian.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah. He's not a, you know.
I've seen his thing once. Didn't find it funny. Moved on.
That's just an act he does for the internet.
Lenny Clark made me laugh out loud with a little shot at your city.
Why?
He was on, he's on in Boston a lot. He's friends with all those EEI guys, and he's a local guy, obviously. And he said he was doing a show in Providence.
Yeah.
He goes, this Providence, pretty nice little city. It's going to be really nice if they ever finish it.
It's true. There's always construction going on somewhere.
But that's true in every city. He made me laugh.
You just laugh because it's at Providence's expense.
I've told you many times, I enjoy Providence. Short little drive from Dartmouth.
Mm-hmm.
I have my children in Providence.
John in Dallas says on the Michael Irvin show, Belichick has been accused. Hey, guys, I live in Dallas and listen to the local ESPN and the Michael Irvin show here. On yesterday's show, Michael dedicated like 60 minutes talking about the fiasco in Denver and made some remarks that alluded to Belichick being responsible for spreading the rumors about the Castle trade to Denver. When pushed, Irvin said that the Parcells coaching tree routinely practices mafia-type behavior, and you can't touch my coveted players. Irvin said Belichick did this because McDaniel snatched a couple of Pats players and wanted to pay him back. I find this argument ridiculous and don't believe a word of it. Irvin finished the monologue saying that Belichick should be investigated by the league.
The timing of it doesn't make sense.
I agree with the Parcells tree thing. I think there's a lot of crap that goes on coming from that tree, internally and externally.
Parcells loves to play the media.
And I think Bill comes from that tree, so I wouldn't put it past him. But in this case, Eric's right. I don't think the timing makes sense. The guys went to Denver after the Castle thing was already.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Jerry Callahan, I guess, wrote a column about it yesterday that this was all planned by Belichick to bring down, you know, a team in the AFC. And I don't see it.
I don't see it.
Boy.
Plus, if that's true, and I know business is business, he's a despicable guy. Because he has lauded Josh McDaniels and, you know, everything he's ever said about Josh McDaniels, to just throw that out the window and try to urinate
all's fair in love and war.
I guess, and that's probably why I would never make it in that business.
It seems like such an elaborate thing to try to take down, though. I mean, you know how many pieces would have to fall into place?
Yeah, it's too much of a conspiracy.
I know he's Machiavellian, but that seems like it's a little far-fetched.
Craig has another email to you, Andy, about
Craig
Pat
Hunt?
White. Yep. He says,
all right, Craig. Why don't you go away for a few months?
He said, Tuesday, Andy said that Bill wouldn't be interested in drafting a kick-ass defensive end who only played the position for 1 year. Bill called White in for a look at wide receiver, and he has never started any game at wide receiver. Today, Andy said he thinks Bill might draft White in the second round. Bill is an innovative guy. Even though Barwin only played defensive end for 1 year, he stood out among hundreds of defensive ends who played the position for years. So sup with that? What's up with that, Mr. Smarty Pants?
I said I wouldn't want Barwin because I would err on the side of the guy that's done it. I didn't say Bill wouldn't. And don't try to compare Pat White or Connor Barwin to Julius Peppers. You can take a risk with a draft pick because the money involved is nowhere near what it's going to be with Peppers. And I also don't think Pat White would be a quote-unquote wide receiver. I think he'd be a slash player.
Robin in Alaska says, you guys just mentioned that Bill has that mad genius aspect to him, and maybe he was thinking of a Wildcat thing for years. Well, we always attributed some of the earlier offensive quirks of the dynasty to Weiss, but perhaps then it was more Bill. And as for a crazy trick play that are kind of Wildcat-ish, Brady flipped out wide in the Oakland playoff game, if I recall. It was a trick play, and Brady got the ball passed to him. I'm certain I've seen this play, and I think it was in the Snow Bowl.
No.
Anyway,
it was in
this
Miami
goes
game
right
that
in
season,
line with
much earlier in the season.
It was a December game against Miami here in Foxborough, and he caught a pass from Kevin Falk.
Okay, so we did.
But it wasn't in that particular game that he mentioned.
Right.
Okay.
And they would never. I don't think they would do that with Brady.
And I don't
at this
believe it was out
career.
Of the Wildcat. I believe it was out of a traditional set. It was and Brady rolled out and ran a real wheel route down the sideline.
It was. I think it was that thing where he jumps and pretends that the ball went over his head. And
yeah,
Falk
it was
took
out
the
of a traditional
snap,
set.
And Falk ran to the right, and Brady did a little wheel route, and he threw it to him uncovered
so
down
it wasn't
the sideline.
Wildcat.
Dagmar from Miami writes in, I haven't been able to write more often due to my schedule at school, but I always listen to the show at night while working on my school project. Keep up the good work. And by the way, Eric, do you have a place on the web so people can see your art? If not, may not be a bad idea to get one so people can see what you do.
You mean a website?
Like
yes.
Galavino.com.
A place on the web. Yes, that would be a website.
Haven't you seen the dorky hats he wears to training camp? Oh, wait, maybe you haven't seen the dorky hats he wears to training camp. Sorry, Eric.
God bless you, Andy.
Hey, you're back.
Hi, how about that?
The high road is the better road.
I have no formal artistic training.
Yes, Dagmar. Scalavino.com.
Scalavino. How do
Scalavino.
You spell Scalavino?
I hate you guys.
Scalavino.com.
Scalavino, Fred. Please say it properly.
Is that another one?
No, that's not another one. That's the one, and it's the proper way to say it.
Thank you for your service. let's see.
See, there you go, mocking the military
No,
again.
Mocking you. I have the
Fred
utmost respect for our men and women in uniform.
I'm glad your boy decided to get rid of that proposal, too, by the way, to have third-party private insurers cover the cost of veterans' medical procedures when they come back from the war. Did you hear about this, Andy?
He's open-minded.
He's open-minded, yeah.
He listens.
That's good.
It's a nice change. Yeah. To have an executive who listens.
Okay.
That's how I described these last couple months, a nice change.
What, with Paul out?
Actually,
well,
yes.
That has been,
that
nice
has been
change.
A nice change.
When's he coming back, by the way?
I don't think
Lord
he is coming back.
Has he been out for 2 weeks? Is this his second week?
Oh, yeah.
Allegedly Monday he comes back.
So, I don't know if we'll ever see him.
So the fun and games end there, fellas.
Will he have a tan, do you think?
No.
No?
No. No.
Fat guys don't take
There's no way off. He took his shirt off once.
No. No.
And he had the ugly Northeastern hat on his head the whole time. The one
and you know, from this point on, he's not going to be out in the sun anyway because he's going to be watching basketball.
Not until training camp.
He won't even be in the sun in training camp.
That's true. He'll be in the tent. That's right.
Because he gets all bright red. Looks like he's going to die. Like a fat lobster.
let's see. Andy Hart for president says Alejandro from Bogota.
Alejandro, I'm big in Bogota.
Hello, Fred, Andy, Eric, and 2G. Right? You have to give it to Andy. Who does he think about when talking about overseas fans that might be interested in PFW Online? Number one, Giselle Bundchen. Number two, that guy from Bogota.
Alejandro.
Andy Hart in 2013, you heard it first. But, Andy, just try to be an average president. There's only so much stone in Mount Rushmore.
True.
We can never fit his head there.
That's true.
You'd have to get rid of all the other ones.
I was going
to
say wipe them all out and just put me.
You need his own mountain. On to football. Eric and Andy did a nifty job with the tweeners and corner prospects. I'm particularly intrigued by Larry English. I know mock drafts are worthless, but many of those have the Patriots selecting him in the first round. Can you talk a little bit more about him, and do you rule out the selection of a corner in the first round?
I wouldn't rule anything out.
No.
Larry English, very productive. Very productive at the Senior Bowl week, which leads me to believe the Patriots will like him. The downside is not overly quick, doesn't have a great 40 time for his size, but bottom line is when he goes up against good tackles or bad tackles,
he makes plays.
Beats them.
Yeah.
I like that. I like guys who make – I'm like Bill in that way. I like guys who make plays.
And Bill mentioned him unsolicited at the combine, which leads me to believe there's more than a passing interest
there. A side note on Aaron Maybin, we talked a little bit about in the podcast yesterday, who had a disappointing 40 time at the combine. Bounced back a little bit, shaved like a tenth off at his pro day. And you'll really like this, Eric.
pictures of him with his shirt off. Dude is yoked. Dude apparently doesn't.
I feel a little uncomfortable.
Do you? Apparently doesn't know that they test in the league or is taking advantage of the window between the combine and draft to take any drug he can get his hands on.
Really?
But, I mean, you know when they say tight-skinned athlete? His skin is just bulging. You like a good bulge, don't you, Eric?
Man, this is really getting uncomfortable.
So go to HR, Fred.
David writes in.
He doesn't like that department.
Hey, guys, and Paul. Although, you know, I'm like.
Well, that's a first, huh?
I'm like, why are they still addressing Paul? He's not a member of the show
taking
anymore.
Taking shots at him.
I'm like, you know, my thing about HR is like when you live somewhere and you just don't trust the cops, so you'd rather deal with it yourself than call the cops if there's trouble.
Like in Rentham? Do you not trust the cops in Rentham?
Yeah, it's like he grew up in like.
You grew up on Cape Cod. You live
an
in
an episode
Rentham.
Of The Shield where Vic Mackey's dirty, so I'll go to the criminals before
I'm
I go
saying,
to the cops.
That's, I'd rather leave HR out of it as much
Cape
as possible.
Cape Cod, Rentham. Where did you live?
I lived in Jersey.
Couldn't trust the cops.
I lived in Jersey.
So is that where
in Jersey?
Trust
them?
What?
Where about?
A town called Manalapan.
Where's that?
It's.
Southern?
Like central.
Central?
Yeah.
So South, in the good part of
South Central Jersey.
So in the good part of Jersey.
Yeah. My guess is his next
neighbor. That's like an affluent part of Jersey.
Yeah. Jason Kidd.
How
and
do you
like,
know?
Right.
It's I know kids from Manalapan.
Anything south.
Fred, it's proof. You're a rich guy. I've always been a rich kid.
Listen to me. When I lived there, it was cornfields and the development that I lived in.
Development.
Yeah.
Right. Which means they were new. They had mansions.
Exactly.
They were the start of the McMansion phase.
Right.
How many rooms in the house? 17, 18, five bedrooms,
small,
six
small
baths.
Cottage? Small cottage?
Listen to this guy.
He can't help that he's rich. He just, it is what it is.
You know why he walks that way? Because that silver spoon's in his ass, not his mouth.
And the worst part is he uses that spoon after.
Oh,
that's true.
See now, I didn't have to. I just ate a nice veal sub. You had to do that?
With
was it a nice veal sub?
Yeah, it was a nice veal sub with parm.
It was delicious. David writes in, although I presume Paul is still taking a well-earned break from going home early, whatever else he does,
okay.
My first thing is to thank Fred for making an online-only version of PFW. It makes it much more available to those of us outside America. I just want, that's a good reminder. Our international fans.
No, not outside of America. Outside of the Americas.
North America. No, because South America, you
South
can get it.
South America's okay.
Yeah.
South, if you're south of the Panama Canal, you can get it, right?
Right.
What about Iceland and Greenland? Can they get
it? Of course.
Nova Scotia?
Yes.
No.
No, Nova Scotia's Canada.
Well, I don't know. Just plug your country in there and you'll
see if
you're eligible.
Bottom line is, if you pay for a subscription, you can get access to the online version.
Right.
No matter where you live.
Right.
Right.
Inside, outside,
right.
Across the sea,
right.
Whatever. Just get a subscription, you'll get access.
But now, if you're overseas, you can get an online-only subscription for a discount and get it. As well.
Right. If you're in Mexico, you get hosed. You got to pay the full price.
Right.
But you're getting everything.
Colombia.
But you're getting not only the
Columbia
online, you're getting
America.
The paper as well.
So
let's see. Anyway, back to the email. The second question is could you discuss explain the two gap technique that I believe the Patriots use in the other defensive techniques and the skills needed to play in them? I think I understand, but if you would go over it, I would appreciate it.
Good hands, good footwork, good strength. Basically, you have to own the blocker in front of you. If you're a Vince Wilfork on the nose, you own the two A gaps.
This is the two gap he's talking about.
The center. You have to. Most defenses, you're on the move at the snap, trying to get past the blocker, beat him to the point of attack, read him. Two gap, you're reading the guy, but you're owning him because you need to play both those gaps. So, and there's an overlapping of gaps. That's the other thing people forget. It's not like, oh God, Vince Wilfork's got to play two gaps. He does A and A, both sides of him. But you have a linebacker behind him who has one of those gaps.
Has
the A gap and the B gap, and he's basically, you know, it changes because you got double teams and stuff, but he's head up on the guard, has to take on that guard.
Right.
Then the defensive end, Richard Seymour, has the B gap and the C gap, so there's always kind of an overlapping of gaps there. But the bottom line is instead of beating the offensive lineman in front of you to a point, to a gap, you have to own him, basically throw him around until the play has developed until the point where you know which gap you need to basically fill at that point, which A, where the ball's going.
Did you know that Pat White was here working out?
No, I didn't.
Yes. It was in the Blitz.
It's on Pro Football Talk right now. White works out at receiver.
On the days you choose to do
it. For Patriots. So if anyone wants to check that out, profootballtalk.com. They've got stuff about him coming here and working out as a receiver rather than a quarterback.
Yep. You know, he's interesting because he kind of says, I want to be a quarterback. I'm going to be a quarterback. I'm good enough. But then he is somewhat open. He's doing the wide receiver stuff kind of begrudgingly.
And that's the right move, I think.
It is. Because he's making his intentions known, but then doing the smart thing.
Right. He's not pulling the Eric Crouch.
Right.
And being a baby and not.
Or the Eric Scalavino, who put in the same position, would say no. Kind of like when he has a painting up for $8,000, no one buys it.
I told you, the prices have come down slightly to reflect the economic conditions of the times.
Unless they've come down about 98%, they do not reflect the economic conditions of the times.
They're on par with other contemporary artists' prices.
Who've never sold a painting.
That's inaccurate. Fred is now
cleaning off his microphone.
Mic
because he got some veal on it, apparently.
Mensa from the Bronx, I think the Patriots should forget about Peppers and go after Jason Taylor. I wouldn't be surprised if, after all this hoopla, Peppers comes in here and flops.
Possible.
And also, the president is a human being just as everybody else. The fact that he took time to fill in a bracket does not mean that he is inhuman. Do you know the saying that all work and no play makes Fred a dull guy?
Yeah, well, Fred's a dull guy because he's ripping the president
for doing it. How
come you did
and
not criticize for the former president from talking about terrorism or something stupid or when he was doing some stupid dance on the White House lawn?
Tongue in cheek.
Please stay away from the politics and stick to football.
Yeah, shut up.
So.
We're people. We're human beings. It's not just all football. Occasionally we have to delve into politics.
We talk about anything and everything. We weren't anything we want.
We also weren't really talking about politics.
I was making an analogy.
Pop culture, current events that the president was doing.
Plus, we're watching NCAA games or
You could argue
the tournament
kind of promotes gambling, no?
Well, he's not getting any money for it
that
we know of.
I bet you there's
that
a White House
we know
pool.
Of.
I bet you there's a White House pool
beyond
the one that's just under the media room.
I mean, when your girl Condi was in the White House, she was a huge NFL fan.
She wants to be commissioner.
Big time. Now, you would go out with her, right?
She's a smart girl, yeah.
She's a little old. If she was
a little old for me, though, Fred.
Would you do her?
She's a little old at this point, Fred.
So are you.
Not that old.
I know.
Not
have
that
you,
old.
No, no.
You're not that young either.
What are you, 43? He's looking at
that
me.
That hurt. That really
that
did hurt.
That one left a mark.
That did hurt.
How old are you?
Less than 40, Fred.
Okay, here we go. I can't say my age.
I'm 36.
What are you, Diana Ross?
You're 36. 36. Pulling out his birth certificate, I think. Let me see.
That's a picture of Diana Ross.
I'm 36.
All right. He's got...
2005. Where the hell's your birth date on here?
Oh, my
God. Is that a Rhode Island one?
Yes.
No.
73.
Oh, you're 36.
Oh, then you're son of a bitch.
36.
Yep, you are one of those.
What's his birthday?
I don't know. Can I read his address?
No.
There is an interesting... what do they call those? The
what?
Start of a word, not the not
prefix.
Prefix on the street you live on.
God bless you, Andy.
All right. Well, listen. Thanks everyone for listening today. Flash looks like it's doing okay. Let's see about a pause button. But judging from the amount of emails I didn't get to, a lot of people listening today.
That's good.
Lots.
An exciting
time.
That's because Fred read 8 million emails about the Flash.
Yeah,
and not Flash
about
the
is
emails
good. Flash
you
sucks.
Read.
You know, we're PFW in progress. I didn't know we were Flash in progress.
Send those emails to Jana.
I will say, though, yet another very energetic show
without Paul.
Fat boy.
The fun and games end on Tuesday, folks. Paul returns.
Oh, that'll be a good show. All right. Well, that's going to be it. And we will see you next Tuesday.